Thanks, Veronica. Hi, everybody. It's Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder. And even though ethically it's wrong to do this, if Steve Cochran has a really good guest, you and I will swoop in and steal that guest. When you look at it on paper, that's nothing but wrong, but...
Well, Steve apologized and said, I wish you guys could be on a better show, so we thought we'd make it happen.
That's absolutely true.
So where's Jimmy? I want to...
Right here.
Okay, Jimmy Moorhead is here. This is the Gay Men's Choir, and you're going to do one final song for us. We are very lucky. What are you doing?
We're going to do the end of My Only Wish This Year by Britney Spears. Mm.
You go, girl. I love Britney. Well, I like the way she looks.
Santa, can you hear me? I have been so good this year, and all I want is one thing. Tell me my true love is here. It's all I want, just for me. Underneath my Christmas tree, I'll be waiting here. Santa, that's my only wish. This only wish. My one wish. Only wish. My one wish. He's all I want, just for me. Underneath my Christmas tree, I'll be waiting here. Santa, that's my only wish this year. Santa, that's my only wish this year.
Fantastico.
That's magnificent. Wow, you guys, incredible. That's so good.
I did jazz hands for your big finish. Awesome. Thank you. Where are you guys playing next? I know you had a rundown with Steve Cochran, but why don't you run down where you're going to be for listeners of our show?
We are doing one more concert on Tuesday, the 13th, at the Beverly Arts Center, Western and 111th. Mm-hmm. If I got their address wrong, they're going to not like that. And then Saturday night, we will be at Navy Pier for Jingle Jams for a Christmas Carol sing-along. So come see us there.
You guys should go caroling door to door because it would knock people out. Because usually carolers are awful, but if you guys would just surprise people at their front door, that would be magnificent. Think about it. You don't have to commit, but think about it.
And do you have a website where people can follow your schedule and find out more information?
For sure. CGMC.org.
And you guys exist all year long. We always hear about you at holiday time because of the carols, but this is a year-long endeavor, right?
Yeah, we do two larger shows in the season in December and May, and then we do two smaller shows as well, a cabaret in end of summer, early fall, and then a live singing drag show in February.
Excellent. And there's about
Valentine's Day?
For Valentine's Day.
For
anything.
For everything.
President's Day.
Right,
it's because by February you need something to smile about, and why not a drag queen that sings live?
Again, your website, Jimmy Moorhead?
CGMC.org.
Very, very nice.
Merry Christmas to all of you.
You sound magnificent. Great job.
Do you remember my story last year where there were some neighbors that were caroling and somebody ran up and rang the doorbell and I opened the door and they were caroling and they sang a song and I'm like, that's good.
Yep.
And then they did another song and it's like, I have something to do. So I closed the door. I didn't know what to do. I was trapped in my own house. What was I supposed to do? Thanks.
I think that story reflects the true season of the holidays, really. There's no better story that does it better than that one.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Yeah. Now, there's a dozen of you in studio now, but realistically, if everybody in the chorus were to get together, what kind of a number would we be looking at?
Between 150 and 200.
Is what? There really?
Yeah, it's a pretty large group. Yep.
Hey, next year, surprise Cochran and bring everybody.
we'll be out on the plaza. Then.
Yes. That's what I want to
see. Well, excellent. We can't thank you enough for staying, and I know you have stuff to pack up and coats to get on, so we'll take a break, and we'll let them clean up. And again, Gay Men's Choir, Artistic Director Jimmy Moorhead, and the website again?
CGMC.org.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. You sound magnificent. Thank we'll you. Take a quick break, and then more of us, Bill and Wendy, on WGN.
Nothing screams Christmas to me than holiday carols. And last night, my son Michael, he's a senior at LT, and all their madrigal groups, sophomore, junior, and senior, got together at this gorgeous, quaint little church in LaGrange, and they sang beautiful music. And then they ended the night as each and every one of the students kind of circled the congregation and walked out into the side aisles and sang Silent Night.
Mm.
It was
nice,
gorgeous.
Yeah, good. That sounds like fun.
I was crying.
Oh.
What has happened to me? I have this marshmallow center.
You got all soft.
Oh, big time. And then I feel bad because a great musician died, and we meant to talk about this yesterday. Speaking of Christmas songs, this is a beautiful one. Listen to this voice coming up.
They said there'll be snow at Christmas. They said there'll be peace on earth. But instead it just kept on raining. A veil of tears for the virgin birth. I remember one Christmas morning.
Greg Lake, singer, multi-instrumentalist, helped propel the whole prog rock theme into the mainstream, member of Emerson, Lake and Palmer, and King Crimson, died on Tuesday. He was 69, and his manager told the BBC he had recently, quote, had a long and stubborn battle with cancer.
Oh, no. It's funny that we play that song because on satellite radio, there's a Christmas channel, and that song is in heavy rotation. And I thought, because I've heard it about three or four times in the last 2 weeks, and I thought, boy, I haven't heard this song in so long. And then all of a sudden, they're just blitzing it on one of their holiday channels. And there it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Terrible.
It's pretty beautiful. Now, Greg Lake, news of Greg Lake's passing at 69 comes 9 months after the death of his bandmate, Keith Emerson.
Yeah, I was just going to say that it had to be less than a year. I didn't realize it was 9 months.
ELP is... one of those prog rock bands. I don't know that I love them, but as I hear the harmonies, it's like Lucky Man's a great song. Yes is another prog rock band who they are pretty good.
They
I don't
fit
know
the era perfectly. Like
absolutely.
When you think of that time, it's hard to not imagine that time without that music as a centerpiece, as a background.
Carl Palmer, still alive. I don't see him getting a reunion tour together anytime sooon.
No.
Doesn't that like make you feel bad though? Like you're in a band and then it's like, wow, I'm the only survivor.
Yes, it does.
We're not getting any younger again.
Apparently.
Like the depressive show that we have every day.
I was going to bring up because many times we do, there is a send off for somebody upon hearing the words that they have expired. They have died. So Kirk Douglas. No, they're not. Kirk Douglas did not die, but today he turns 100 years old. And I was thinking to myself, from your glory days of Hollywood, from your days when movies were still made in black and white, he's one of the last man standing, wouldn't you say?
Yep.
And 100 is quite an achievement. And he, in addition to being a great actor, and he was for years and years and years, he was a great actor. He was a really good advocate for people who have suffered from strokes because he said, just because I had a stroke, that doesn't mean I'm just going to lay on a couch. I'm still going to get out there and I'm still going to do things. And he did for years and years and years after his stroke. Kirk Douglas was still a very active gentleman. So 100 years. Congratulations, Kirk Douglas.
I don't know that I saw many of his films. I was definitely aware of him, and
yeah.
I've seen a couple maybe, but have you seen a lot of his films?
I've seen a bunch. I know I haven't seen all of his, but I mean, Spartacus is really the one. If you need to see a Kirk Douglas film to get a flavor of what he brought to the screen, I would steer you towards Spartacus. That was him at his best.
I saw some of that.
Yeah.
I saw him in his garb. I don't think
the chariot scenes?
Yeah. I didn't watch the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Has he done anything fairly recently?
I can't remember the last movie he was in. I think once he had the stroke, he may have made one or two movies after that. But, it was harder to understand him. It just was. And I think that might have cut into his work. We have a list. Kevin just gave us a list of some of his greater films. I'm going to stand by Spartacus as I look at this list. Gunfight at the OK Corral is really good, too. All of these are good, but the one you want to see if you want to see him at his most Kirk Douglas-y best is go with Spartacus.
I can't, you know, it's so funny because as you looked at Kirk Douglas and you saw his son, a young Michael Douglas, years and years and years ago.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, they don't look that much alike. But now that Michael has grown up, he looks just like his father.
Doesn't he?
I mean, just like his
yeah,
father.
Yeah, it's uncanny how much he does. Yeah.
He was a handsome man, that Kirk Douglas.
Oh,
he probably
really was.
Still is. I haven't seen him lately.
But think about it. When you think about actors that were around and popular and playing lead roles during the era that films were made in black and white, you'd really be hard-pressed to come up with too many names that are left. It's sad, you know, because those were the glory days of Hollywood, but he is one of the last. There's a couple of books out about movies in the 40s where they would show these lunches that the different studios would put out, and all their roster would be sitting at these tables, and they would just do this big shot of all your stars there together. And Kirk Douglas at that point was one of, you know, the younger guys. And now that I think about those pictures, I all the ones that were the younger guys in those pictures, like Mickey Rooney and Roddy McDowall, those guys, they're no longer with us.
Can't forget 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Oh, yeah. He's really good in 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Although this is not, according to Huffington Post, that is not listed as one of his best movies.
I'd put that in there
for sure. And yeah. It's the only other one I saw.
Oh. You know what else is really good that I don't see on the list? And the name of it is escaping me. I want to say it's called The Big Circus. Is that on this list? It is not. There's a movie called The Big Circus that has nothing at all to do with circuses. Circus Eye. More than one circus. What it is it's about a reporter who's covering a story about a kid who falls in a well. And you go, well, yeah, is there much of a story there? But they do some really interesting things with it. He's kind of an embittered reporter who's out covering the story. And I'm almost positive it's called The Big Circus.
He was in a movie called The Big Sky.
No.
The Big Trees.
No.
Did he just do movies that had the big something?
Anytime they made a movie about something big, they would go with Kirk Douglas.
The Bad and the Beautiful.
That's not the title of it.
The Juggler. He was on the Jack Benny program.
What did he do on there?
In 1954.
I bet he played himself on that.
Yeah, probably. He did.
Yeah.
He did.
Because that's what Jack Benny would do is, it was a show about having a radio show, so stars would come on as themselves, and Jack would mess with them.
I don't see The Big Circus on here.
I got, maybe it's called something else for some reason.
The Big Sky?
What is the subject matter?
Ace in the Hole?
No, it's not Ace in the Hole. What's the subject matter of Big Sky? Does it say what the
something about
is it a kid falling in a hole?
Let me find it, Bill, because I just went past it. Remind me to talk about the picture you were saying where they're all sitting around the craft services table eating. Because
yeah.
My friend Lisa Nelson writes for Last Man Standing. I went to see her on the set. I can't believe the food that is served. How do these actresses and actors, I'll just say actors, how do they stay thin?
It's
there
the
is
funniest
so
thing.
Much food.
The pressure is, if you're doing a movie, is to do exactly what you just said. Don't put on a pound because it will show up on camera. But
how
there
can
is
you
food
not?
Constantly, from the time you walk on set to leave, there's all the food you could ever imagine.
I mean, it's like there's this giant warehouse filled with buffet tables, filled with like really great food.
Right.
There's a breakfast area, and then that gets cleaned up. And
right.
just as that's cleaned up, the lunch buffet comes out, and it's like big, huge things.
I know.
It's not like sandwiches. It's
no.
like pepper steak and roasted chicken. It's like, and
right.
then at 4 o'clock every day, everyone would get excited. And I said, what's going on at 4 o'clock? Oh, this is when the soft custard cart shows, or this is when the fresh caramel corn thing is here.
It's
oh,
nonstop.
Cotton candy. I can't believe
I
actors
know.
Can stay in shape.
I know. When I did Major League, every morning they would make these omelets that were twice the size of any omelet you've ever seen before. And they would say to you, if you want extra, let us know. We'll give you extra. No, don't give me extra.
I
this
can't
is
believe
more than
it.
Enough. This is twice the size of anything I've ever seen in my life. No, please, no extra.
And see, you've been in movies and you've been around people that are in movies, so you know about this. I had no idea.
Yeah, they're very generous with the food.
I couldn't believe it. Now, The Big Sky is the success of the journey, focuses on keeping the Indian girl
no.
alive as well as themselves to complete trade with the Blackfeet.
No, I've never seen that.
All right.
I'll find what movie it is. I thought it was Big Circus for some reason.
Gary, do you know the name of the movie?
No, not that one, although I remember seeing it. But one of his best was None But the Brave.
I don't know that one.
You've never seen that either?
Wait, you haven't?
Yeah, I've seen that. I've seen half of the ones that they list as his best, and I have to say I disagree with most of these choices. This is from Huffington Post. But what did you like about None with the Brave?
Well, None with the Brave, he's kind of this rogue, singular guy that ends up committing a crime to save somebody, but he's alone on his horse.
Yeah.
And he eludes the authorities on his horse, you know, and this is like in the 50s.
Yeah.
So everybody's chasing him in cars, and he's running away on a horse. And he and his horse bond amazingly. They give me this really sympathetic portrayal of just a lone man and his horse.
See, that's from the days you could make a movie about that, the relationship between a guy and his horse, and everybody goes, yeah, all right, you got a movie there. I don't know that they would do that today, would they?
I don't know. No, probably not. But, you know, it was kind of the end of any horse era. He was an old cowboy kind
right.
of type.
Right.
I don't think he was in it. I'm looking up a bunch of the None But the Brave movies, and Frank Sinatra's in one.
But not Kirk Douglas?
Are you sure that's the title of it, Gary?
Okay. You know, maybe not.
this tribute to Kirk Douglas is horrible.
No, wait a minute. It's got to be something like that.
It is ringing a bell with me. But for some reason, that's resonating with me, too. Yeah.
All right. You know what? We have to take a break, Gary, but we'll solve all these questions. We'll find out the answer to the movie Bill's talking about, too, and we'll find out the title of your movie as well. Gary, thank you for calling, and Merry Christmas.
Thanks, Gary. This isn't the tribute to Kirk Douglas that we had planned.
No, because nobody has their facts right.
All right. Stick around. We have more show. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Veronica, thanks. Hi, everybody. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder. 100 years ago today, Isor Danilovich Dembski was born in Amsterdam, New York. But as you know, Wendy, there was already an Isor Danilovich Dembski in the Screen Actors Guild. So he quickly changed his name to Kirk Douglas. That's what you do.
What's his real name?
Isor Danilovich Dembski.
Huh.
Not as box office friendly as Kirk Douglas.
Wow, don't you want to know how they come up with these names?
Yeah.
Like, did he have an Uncle Kirk that he was a fan of?
Maybe.
Did he idolize a baseball player?
Yeah.
You know, it's just because a lot of times people shorten their name or whatever, or take their middle name as their first name, but there's no rhyme or reason to match Kirk Douglas to Isor.
I've heard that back in the glory days of Hollywood, every studio had a person whose job it was to think of a name that had sort of a dynamic sound to it, so that in a case like this, you'd say your name isn't Norma Jean, it's Marilyn Monroe. You know, somebody's job, that was it.
I would like that job.
Wouldn't that be a fun job?
Yeah. All right. First and foremost, you brought up a movie that you really liked that he was in about a guy in a well or something.
Somebody gets stuck in a hole in a well, and he's a reporter, an embittered reporter who goes to cover the story, which starts out small but gets bigger and bigger and bigger. For reasons I can't explain, I thought it was called The Big Circus, but I looked it up. That's a movie about a circus with Victor Mature and Red Buttons.
Well, that's where you're getting it confused. You're a big fan of Red Buttons.
I love Red
Who
Buttons.
Isn't? The late great. Vivian, what movie is he speaking of?
He is thinking of Ace in the Hole.
Is that what it is? Is it Eight in
Yeah.
All right.
Makes more sense. And in fact, you know what cracks me up, Vivian, is he goes, my favorite Kirk Douglas movie is called The Big Circus, and it has nothing to do with the circus.
Well, I think they apparently, for some reason, it also went with The Big Carnival. I think maybe that's what I was thinking of.
All right,
what's
so
that?
What is that? Because that sounds, now it's making sense. What is that?
I don't know. It's just. You know, they always said AKA the Big Carnival, so I don't really know, because I think it almost becomes to like a sideshow, because he just becomes real relentless and ruthless about this man that the story starts where this man was actually, I think, like in a cave or something like that, and then he just goes on this explosive rampage about exploiting this whole story. So,
all right, what you just said is true.
Ace in the hole story, basically, with the expression "ace in the hole."
The movie, which came out in 1951, was originally called "Ace in the Hole," but later on other showings, they changed the name to that the Big Carnival.
Without Billy Wilder's permission, they said
the director
changed the title to the Big Carnival to increase the box office take of the film, but it didn't really work.
Uh huh. Okay.
Wow. Well, thank you, because I could my brain would not figure out why I was calling it that, but now it makes sense. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Happy holidays.
Thank you. Have a
Happy
great
holiday.
Thank you. All right, Dave has some answers for you too. Because then a listener called and was saying my favorite Kirk Douglas movie was None But the Brave, but I looked
Turns
it up
out
and
he's
there,
not in that.
There, no, Frank Sinatra's. There's a couple movies made that.
That's how good Kirk Douglas was. He didn't have to be in a movie for people to love him in.
Dave, you have all the answers for us, don't you?
Hello?
Hi, it's Mr. and Misinformation.
Yeah, it's Lonely Are the Brave.
I did look that up.
That's the one, right?
Yeah. Well, he's a cowboy, like in the 1950s, you know, cowboy rodeo type guy.
Yeah.
In the 1950s or whatever, you know. And he goes to visit an old buddy of his in a, you know, small town or whatever. And then he gets in the barroom fight with a guy and all this stuff and ends up in jail, and then I can't remember if he escapes or gets just let out or whatever. But you know, and then he's on his horse, like the other guy was telling you, and he's on his horse and he goes up in the mountains, and they're tracking him with a helicopter. And Bill would appreciate this. The guy who plays the sheriff was the guy who played Patty Duke's father, William
Shellert.
Yeah, he's the sheriff in the movie. Flying around the helicopter trying to track him through these mountains and all this stuff, and it's just him and his horse and his rifle. He really doesn't shoot anybody, if I remember right. But
oh, that's
dark
cool.
Horse I ride. This was the impetus to the Bon Jovi song.
I think it may have been.
It says on IMDb, a fiercely independent cowboy arranges to have himself locked up in jail in order to then escape with an old friend who has been sentenced to the penitentiary. So that's it. Walter Matthau's also in it.
Really?
Gina Rollins?
Gina Rollins, yeah.
Rollins.
Yeah, she's good.
She's beautiful.
Yeah.
All right.
And the other one, though, too, was, I remember that exactly, too, with that. The first time I saw that movie years ago, it was called The Big Carnival, and now they're calling it Ace in the Hole. And it was the guy who was down in the, whatever, Indian caves. He was digging for Indian relics.
That's it, exactly.
Right. And then on top of him, and Kirk Douglas and his little photographer pal were out on the road and all that, and they heard about that because they were going to go to rattlesnake hunt or something, and it was all in New Mexico and all that.
Yeah, stuff. It's really good. Yeah.
Thank you, Dave, for all the info.
Have a good holiday.
One other great movie he made was 7 Days in May, was one of the others, and Paths of Glory.
I heard of it. I've not seen it, but I'll find it.
Oh, yeah, both those are fantastic movies.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
All right, nice talking to you.
Nice
you
talking
as well.
To you, Dave.
Happy holidays.
I got a bunch of the titles wrong, Wendy. I also said I thought Kirk Douglas, who turns 100 today, that his greatest movie was Spartacus. I got that title wrong. The real title of that is Dude, Where's My Chariot? I apologize. I thought it was Spartacus.
Holly, what else did we get wrong?
Hi, you're missing the whole key to the Big Carnival.
What is it?
Kirk Douglas is a reporter. And he knows it's a cave that has collapsed.
Yes.
And he knows a way into the cave to save the man. But he doesn't tell it because he wants to.
It's a better story.
Keep the story going.
Right.
And he's got the story. So that's the whole key. What a lousy person he is for keeping this guy in the cave.
Right.
When he knows the way out.
Just so he can sell the story better. I almost wanted to leave that part out because that's kind of the.
Oh.
But that's all right. That's all right.
How many years ago did this movie come out? I think we're good.
It came out in 1951. Yeah. So some time has passed.
Okay.
Right. Well, thank you. Thanks, Holly.
You're welcome.
Take care.
Hey, Holly, have a holly jolly Christmas, won't you?
Well, thank you, even though I'm Jewish.
Oh, well, happy Hanukkah. Now, so you weren't named Holly because of the holly berries, were you?
I was not. I was born in July, and my real name is Hollis.
Oh, I love that name.
Isn't that a nice name?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Well, happy Hanukkah.
Holly.
Happy everything. Bye-bye.
Bye. See, happy everything.
Can I just tell you, this is why I say happy holidays to people, and you told me yesterday, just do what you want. So right. I'm like, Merry Christmas. Well, I'm Jewish. I swear to God above me, sweet baby Jesus, I am never listening to you again.
Here's what you need to do. When you see a person or hear a person on the air, just say, and what religious denomination
Jewish
are you?
Jewish or no?
They say, yeah, say that. That'll be fine.
I'm sticking with my happy holidays. God, every time.
I know. Happy birthday, Kirk Douglas. I'll take a quick break. It's Bill and Wendy.
Wow. That's good, Bill.
Did you enjoy that?
Yes. Flash, that's such a great song. And I think, do you ever watch Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
Seen it a few times.
Just made me think of that a little bit. All right, it's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. The reason we're playing that is there's a flash sale going on in our newsroom right now, and I know the listening audience can't attend, but...
because they're at Kirk Douglas's 100th birthday party.
Telling him Merry Christmas.
Right. That's right. That's
I'm never listening to you again,
all right,
ever.
That's fair.
So Veronica Carter, and I understand Mary Vandeveld is a part of this as well. There's a flash sale going on, I've been told. What is going on up there, Veronica?
Well, it was kind of, on my part anyway, last minute, they just sent me an email yesterday, said, oh, by the way, did we tell you we're having like our own Chris Kindle market in the newsroom? I make candles and lotions, and Mary makes, scarves, and she brought makeup bags that are adorable. And there's some of hers are in Blackhawks, some are in Bears. We're trying to get her to do a discount on the Bears since they're so terrible.
Yeah.
They should be free.
Yeah,
right. She should pay us to take them off her hands.
Exactly. But I do all kinds of candles, and we just decided we're having food up here, which we always do.
Yeah.
They have more fun in the newsroom than we do on the air down here every day.
It seems like they do. You can hear the background. It seems like a very festive place to be.
You should see the spread of food that's in here right now.
Yeah.
So even if you don't want to buy anything, you should just come up so you could look, and then somebody will offer you food.
Did Ryan Burrow make his famous pizza spins? Because, boy, are those delicious.
He makes churros. It's Burrow's churros.
Burrow's churros.
Burrow's churros. I don't want to make something that rhymes with my last name.
No, please. Veronica, how does a flash sale differ from a flash flood?
I am not quite sure.
One you report on, one you don't.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's all right.
A flash sale, like a pop-up restaurant. That's just
what it is.
It's just all of a sudden they decide to do it.
Yeah.
Newsflash. Newsflash.
Oh, that's why it kind of
That's what it's called.
What's the number one selling item? What's the one thing you just can't keep in stock right now in the newsroom?
Well, you know, everybody's ooing and awing over the makeup bags.
Save me a Blackhawks one.
Blackhawks makeup bag. Okay, I'll tell her.
These, of course, are sanctioned by the Blackhawks and the NHL.
Oh, I'm sure they are.
I'm
sure that a cut in the proceeds go to them. Yeah. Uh-huh.
How much is that makeup bag?
I think she said $20.
Forget it.
Wendy.
I'm kidding.
That's a great price.
I'll come
That's
up
like
there at
a
noon.
Lunch and a half. Yeah, but I've got some regular candles and some Christmas themed candles and
Which smell the best? What's the one that really just smells outrageously good?
I like the fruity smells.
Yeah.
I don't like Andre Darlis loves like the pine tree smells. That's a little too much for me. It's a little
too
powerful. Yeah, it's a little too earthy.
So of the fruit smelling ones, what like cranberry?
Strawberry jam is good. I like fruit slices. I like the tropical ones like mandarin orange and things like that.
Yeah. All right. That
Can I tell
good.
You, I went to, where did I go? I guess San Francisco with my husband several years ago, and we stayed at this, is it the Huntley Hotel? It's this old school hotel, mm-hmm. and you walk in the lobby, and it's beautiful wood and dark and awesome, and the smell just permeates your nose, and it was the most wonderful smell I've ever smelled in my life.
Yeah.
And it's a Huntley candle that they have and they market and they sell, and it's like jasmine and something else.
That sounds very good.
And I ordered some online, and I've burned them. So I need more, and I can't find them. So
anything like that, Veronica?
Yeah, I need like white jasmine, kind of super sweet tropical, like I'm wearing a lay around my neck.
I did not bring any, but there might be some like that, but no jasmine in particular. Mm. I try to like make them based on the people I work with, what they like.
Oh, smart move.
And nobody,
good marketing.
Yeah, nobody had asked for a jasmine one yet.
Mm, so. I like that super sweet smell. Who did you make the BO candle for?
Not going to say.
Chris Anich. Yeah.
You guys are so mean.
Well,
happy holidays, everyone.
Veronica, last year at the newsroom flash sale, Judy Pilek's kissing booth got closed down around noon. Is that going to be the case again this year?
Yeah, she. I think she's ready till at least 1.
1 o'clock this
year?
All right. The lines were around the block, you know.
Well, why not? Yeah. She's awesome. Just
a dollar per kiss, Wendy. Holiday special. Not bad.
She could charge more.
She could charge more. Well, she had weird rates, secret rates for some. I don't know what she was doing up there, but the kissing booth was a good idea last year.
With or without tongue?
I don't want to know.
Because that's extra.
I don't, right. 5 cents extra. These prices are outrageous.
I have not been a candle girl because I had a cat. When I finally moved out of my my house,
yeah.
I had an apartment by myself and my cat Declan. And he, as cats tend to do, they walk on tables and stuff. So I always had...
It's dangerous.
I didn't have candles.
Yeah.
I would get like a Glade salad or something.
Yeah.
And now I have a, and then when I got married and bought my own house, I had babies and toddlers, and I didn't really want candles then either.
Yeah.
But now that I have teenagers and a dog that doesn't really bother anything, I'm back into candles. So I'm going to go look at the flash sale.
Veronica, how about candles that smell like cats or teenagers? Would you do something like that for Wendy?
Cats or teenagers?
Yeah.
You know, I
can bottle some of the. I don't have cats anymore though, but some cat lovers.
Yeah.
Would enjoy that.
Think about that.
How about a candle that kind of goes over the top of the smell of teenagers and cats?
That would be all right.
I'll take 100 of them.
No kidding.
But seriously, I had people over. I had family over for Thanksgiving. I was hosting 12 people, and we have a dog who is a big furry dog who is outside a lot. And the last thing I wanted is for my house to smell like dog.
Yeah.
I don't smell it, but you know, you live there and you get used to it. So
right.
I lit some of these Huntley candles, and everyone commented on that when they walked
really?
In. It's like, oh my God, are you simmering some kind of wild jasmine flowers? I said, no. It really like fills the whole room. There was one candle in this Huntley hotel, and it filled. It wasn't
that
even that
good.
Big. It filled up the entire lobby.
Wow.
And I've gone online to try and get more, and
you
I can't
find
them? It.
You know what's dangerous is getting the candles that smell like baking food.
Oh, yeah.
Because
then
you have to have chocolate or something after you smell them.
What was the story?
I know,
saw
I was
yesterday?
Just looking for it. It's a KFC has a candle that you can actually.
KFC has just released a fried chicken scented candle. There's nothing like the scent of something good cooking in your kitchen.
If you're going to eat it.
Right, I know.
If I smell it, I expect it.
Whether it's the familiar smell of your favorite cookies baking in the oven or coming home to dinner about to be served, the aroma of good food has a way of making everyone feel comfortable. The same thing could be said about lighting candles, so why not combine the two? That's what KFC is doing. They have an innovative idea. As you've probably guessed, it's not your ordinary lavender or vanilla scented candle. KFC in New Zealand, Wendy, you'd have to drive out to New Zealand, which is tough because there's an ocean or two in the way, took to social media to host a competition in order for KFC fans to win none other than a KFC-scented candle. The company has posted this on their Facebook account. What better way to light up your nights than a limited edition KFC-scented candle to go in to draw the draw to win one? Just suggest another piece of KFC merchandise that you'd like to see. And they'll choose a winner, and you will receive a candle that smells like KFC.
If I smell fried chicken, I want to eat fried chicken.
Right.
If you come home and all of a sudden you smell chocolate cookies baking in the oven, aren't you going to be wholly disappointed
Absolutely.
If there is nothing in the oven?
Right.
So
right.
I think that's stupid.
Didn't White Castle do this for Valentine's Day a couple of years ago?
Yes, they did.
They did, right?
Mm-hmm. Who wants a cheeseburger smelling? Cheeseburger with onions.
I mean, again, it's good when you have a taste for sliders and you go in there. You can smell it. They open up the drive-through window and you
right.
can smell the reek of it there.
Yeah.
But again, the olfactory glands in your body, you smell something and all of a sudden it's your stomach says, hey, I'm getting this. I'm
right.
going to get a slider. If there's no payoff.
Then why bother? It messes up your brain.
That's like a food tease.
That's exactly what it is.
All
right. Well, we have to take a break. Veronica, good luck with the flash sale. And this
right,
is
thanks.
Or is not open to the public. If people want to wander up and buy some things, are
you know,
they allowed to?
If they can get past security, then.
Yeah, then they're free.
They're free.
All right. That seems fair. We'll take a quick break. Then the news. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Veronica, thank you. Hi, everyone. It's Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder. It's the Friday edition of our show. The biggest criticism that we get on a daily basis, sometimes through text, sometimes through phone calls, sometimes people just stop by the studio. They say, we like the show, but you guys never have Tony Orlando on the show. What's wrong? Why isn't Tony Orlando ever on the show? Today at 2:35, all that stops. Tony Orlando will be on with us.
I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, he's coming on later.
We're going to talk to Kurt Wagner in a moment, but Kevin was obsessed with Chicago's Best TV show that's on now. He's not watching it. He's looking at it and hopefully listening to our show. But they keep featuring all this like amazing food.
Yes.
And he got me into watching it, and then he forgot to call Kurt. Is Kurt on the phone now? All right.
Yeah.
Kurt, you took a back seat to Chicago's Best Food. I think they're talking about Reubens and grilled cheeses, and it really looked, it made me salivate.
Oh, I had a Reuben yesterday.
Do you go sour? I mean, do you go Thousand Island dressing or horseradish?
Ooh, horseradish would be good, but I had Thousand Island on mine yesterday.
See, I eliminate the Thousand Island and replace it with horseradish. That's the way to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Sounds good.
Kurt, we've not seen you lately. We've talked to you on the phone, but you're not in studio. Where are you? Is everything okay?
Everything's fine. I'm just working on stuff and, you know.
Finals week?
Yeah, sure.
Is it? All right.
I have to mention a new show that I love and I binge watched, and it's called This Is Us. And have you talked about that before?
Yeah, we've talked about that.
See, I can't get into it until I watch it, and mm-hmm. I binge-watched it, and it is coming back, I believe, in January. Milo Ventimiglia and Mandy Moore, it is a fantastic show. That's all I got to say. It's about family life, being parents, weird twists. The guy who played Chris Darden from the O.J. Simpson story is in it.
Yeah.
And very good.
Really good. Yeah.
All right. I'll watch that.
It's the Weekly Cry Fest.
Oh, that's my God.
Everybody
I told
says.
You.
Everybody says it's very emotional.
I interviewed Milo Ventimiglia when he was in town, and we talked about that show a little bit. He's also in the revival of Gilmore Girls, but it's really, it's really a weeper.
Yeah.
You should watch it.
It sort of it does, you know, all the family dynamics, siblings, parents to kids, you know, it's got everything going on.
And it makes you feel good. There's a lot of love involved, but there's also a lot of dysfunction, and it kind of makes you feel better about your own family.
Yeah, and it's pretty amazing. I think almost every week they have some surprise
that
you just don't see coming. Yeah.
Kurt, here's a trend that I've noticed the last couple of years, but boy, is it strong this year, is that most of your network shows stop showing new episodes in the first or second week in December, and then they come back in January. But it really seems strange because many people have time off in December, and you can watch the show's first run, but they tend to show reruns. They'll show a Christmas episode the first week in December, and then it's all just repeat episodes until January. Is that a good move or a bad move?
Well, I guess it depends. They usually show a lot of Christmas specials and Christmas movies the old Christmas cartoons and things like that. I don't know if they've found out that people aren't watching TV in the fall or in the wintertime, but it's a good time, I guess, you know, to save their episodes for when it's time to come back.
And those specials...
They end on kind of cliffhanger.
The specials that have been running for years and years and years, stuff like Rudolph and Frosty and all those, they still get amazing ratings, even though they're 40 or 50 years old. It really is a big ratings getter for the networks, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. They are. And you know, they do new things, too. They update, you know, like, what is that, Elf on the Shelf? I think they've done new ones of those every year. And
is that a show, Elf on the Shelf, or just something,
it's a
toy?
Show. It's a cartoon.
Oh, it is? Who's
it's
in
like
that?
The, I haven't seen it. Yeah. And, you know, so, yeah, those do well. And it's, you know, 'tis the season.
Whoever invented that Elf on the Shelf is rich, because sometimes you lose your Elf on the Shelf, so you may have to go buy a second one, and then you've misplaced the second one and have to go buy a third one.
Sure, exactly.
And, Kurt, I'm marketing a thing I call the Lef on the Shelf. It's like the Elf on the Shelf, but I just come to your house and I sit on a shelf until Christmas.
And you tell jokes?
Not necessarily. I just relax. I just rest on
it. Must be a sturdy shelf.
It is a pretty well-made shelf.
How do you get your little butt up there?
That's
they're not very wide.
Industry secret. We don't like to divulge our secrets.
We talked about this very briefly about the Dick Van Dyke Show is coming back colorized. typically in my life, when I don't like the colorization, it looks washed out and not good. So have they made any strides to make it look more colorific?
I think they've gotten better on that, yeah. But I guess that's up to the individual to decide.
It's a Wonderful Life that they colorized that one year.
Ruined
and it was
it.
Like, really?
Show
Did
it
you
in
just
black and white.
Put watercolors over the people? It just wasn't
right.
Vibrant.
Right.
Doing that, and I think that was one of the first things they did. Yeah, it was pretty bad. But I think they've probably gotten better.
But how are they going to do Richard Deacon, who played Mel Cooley? He was in black and white in real life, so how are they going to do that?
I don't know. I don't know. They just have to put a block of color over.
That's all you can do. And we talked about it. This is very confusing to me. They're going to show two episodes of Dick Van Dyke's show in color, but neither of them are the Christmas episode. Why wouldn't you show the if you're going to do it, show the Christmas episode, right?
I cannot answer that question.
That's
but
crazy.
Maybe they decided these were very popular. I think these were. One of these was, I think, is in the list of all-time best TV episodes.
The one called That's My Boy. It is. It's one of their best episodes ever. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break. Kurt Wagner's with us from TVShowPatrol.com.
You got him mixed up with Kirk Douglas, didn't you? Because
yes,
he's 100 today.
It's his birthday. Happy birthday, Kurt Douglas. Kurt Wagner is going to give us AFI, that's American Film Institute's TV Programs of the Year. See if you agree or disagree. And then Kurt's got a couple choices of his own. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN. Kurt Wagner's here from TVShowPatrol.com. AFI has chosen their TV Programs of the Year. Now, Kurt, just to be clear, the American Film Institute normally deals in movies, in films, obviously. Why are they so interested in naming the best TV programs of the year?
I think they've done that always. Film and TV.
Yeah.
On film.
Oh, yeah. All right. That seems legit. Okay. So let's go through them. Now, do they pick the top 10?
Yeah, they just pick 10.
Yeah.
They don't put them in any particular order.
Alphabetical order.
Yeah, alphabetical order.
So and that's it.
Particular.
So this is their way of saying these are the best of the best. If you're watching TV, you really need to be watching these 10 programs. Go through them. What are they?
Unless you don't like them.
Unless
right?
you don't like them, yeah.
The Americans, which has, I don't know, what is this, the fourth or fifth season? Great show. Atlanta, which is a new show.
Wait, what is Atlanta? I don't know if I know that show.
That's the show about...
Atlanta?
How did you know that? Oh, is that the one with Donald...
Pleasance?
He wants to become a rap... not a rapper, but a... an agent and that kind of stuff.
Okay.
In Atlanta, and it's sort of about...
I've heard good things about it. All right, so that's on the list of AFI's top 10. What else?
Better Call Saul.
Well-deserved.
Great show.
Great show.
Love it. The Crown, which is the new Netflix thing about Queen Elizabeth II.
A drama, is it? It's not a comedy, right? It's a drama?
It's drama.
That wouldn't be
she
funny.
She killed.
Elizabeth II's not funny. All right, what else?
Game of Thrones.
Uh-huh.
Have you watched a minute of that?
I haven't either.
I feel bad.
I've seen every minute of it.
You love it, huh?
Yes.
That's one of those shows.
The Night Of.
People who are, if you're into it, you're so into it. But if you're not, you're just, at some point, I'm going to watch it. It just piling up and piling up. And I'm like, I don't know if I can devote that much time.
I just went to Game of Thrones had this for their season 6 DVD release. They had this installation in Chicago one Saturday recently, and I went to it, and you got to put yourself into scenes, and then they filmed it with a green screen, so I have a bunch of things of me, like, burning down a yurt and stuff like that.
Oh, and do you wear costumes for this or not?
No, it was just whatever you were wearing. Oh. Although the scene where they put you in as Jon Snow in the Battle of the Bastards, they cover you up with green screen blanket so that you're... All that's sticking out is your head.
That's cool.
What's a yurt?
Well, Wendy. It's like a giant tent. I mean, I just called it a yurt. That's not what they call it on
What
the
is show. A yurt?
It's like a big, huge, round tent thing.
Yeah.
You didn't know what a yurt was either, Bill.
I thought it was yogurt, to be honest with you. I thought it was a small sample of yogurt.
That's go-gurt.
Is that what it is? All right. The Night Of?
The Night Of, which, everybody's talked about. People versus
so good.
OJ. American Crime Story. Which
Wait,
you...
go back to The Night Of. That was a self-contained story, and I don't want to go into details. If you haven't seen it, you should really find it on HBO. It's so good. But will there be a season two? And if there is a season two, you got to have a whole new story, right? You can't come back to last year's story, can you?
I don't think you can, but, you know, who knows? I haven't heard, though, what they're doing.
I'd love to see more of The Night Of. I loved it. All right, then the other one you said was People versus O.J. Simpson.
Yeah.
That was really good.
That was fantastic.
It was
I'm
really
still
good
talking
and
about
really
it.
Bad at the same time. Yep. It was both. It was. It was both.
It covered all bases.
Yeah.
It was comedy unintentionally and drama.
Yeah.
Intentionally.
It was.
And Sterling K. Brown is in that, and he's also in This Is Us, which is also on the list.
Love it.
That's Wendy's show.
Love Stranger Things, too.
Stranger Things
on the
list.
On the list, and Veep is commonly on the list.
Yeah.
Well
written, and you know what's happened is, and Julia Louis-Dreyfus said this herself, they set out to do a comedy about what it's like to be in the presidency, and then she said, and then we got kind of trumped by Trump, that story's doing the same thing. So
we're going to have a hard time, I think, next year, because in the next season, because, yeah, exactly.
How do you top what's happening in real life, right?
Exactly.
All right, so
it'll become very serious, and it'll become a serious drama.
Kurt, in all honesty, those 10 shows that you just mentioned, AFI's programs of the year, there's not a clinker in them. All 10 of them are really solid shows.
Well, see, and that's the problem with TV these days, is that there's so many. I mean, they left out a ton of things.
All right, so you came up with your list of what they...
Well,
yeah, go on.
I don't feel that I'm qualified necessarily to do this because I don't get to see everything. And you ask me tomorrow what would be on my list, it will be different than what's on my list today.
Oh.
Because there's so much good stuff, which is why I'm basically down to maybe 25 instead of 10. But I feel also like, you know, I have a certain amount of favorite shows that I'm watching that I enjoyed the most, and they may not necessarily be the best.
Yeah.
So I have Game of Thrones down. I have This Is Us down. I have this really good show on USA Network called Eyewitness, which is about two kids who witness a murder, and then they try to cover it up because they're gay kids, and one of them is in the closet, and they don't want to be outed, and it just goes to all these different levels. It's really cool. Vikings, one of my favorite shows.
Mm-hmm.
I write a lot about that. The new season, half season, just started. It's amazing. The Night Manager was that spy drama from earlier this year.
Oh, right.
Amazing. The ABC show, American Crime, this year's season, it was good last season too, but this year's season I thought was exemplary. Then I was on this very long binge of foreign shows. So I had The Crown, Versailles, which is a show about King Louis XIV.
Mm-hmm.
Janet King is an Australian lawyer drama.
Wait, somebody else just told me about that show. That's Janet King, and it's Australian, but that's all I know about it. Where can we find that?
She is a Crown prosecutor, and she, this year we had the second season, and this year she was put into some commission to find out how illegal guns were coming into Australia, and it tied into the murder of her wife. She's a lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just this really great drama. Marta Dusseldorf is the actress.
That was John Denver's real name.
Dutchendorf.
Oh, damn it.
That's all right.
And I just interviewed her recently. She's amazing. She's in like three shows that I watch from Australia that are really good.
And her partner on the show is a kangaroo, right?
No.
Oh, all right.
It's a wallaby, dummy.
A wallaby, I'm sorry.
Come on, Bill.
That'd be a more interesting show, I think. All right, so that sounds good, Janet King. And then what is I'm looking at your list. I've never heard of this one, The Detectorists. What's that?
Oh, that's a really great British show. It's about these two guys who use metal detectors, and they just, it's their hobby. They're like hobby detectorists. They call themselves detectorists because people say, are you a metal detector? And they're like, no, that's the metal detector. We're the detectorists.
Oh, all right.
So it's this really sort of low-key comedy, but it's hilarious. It's so good, and it's a British show. I think it's currently airing on Netflix and on the Acorn TV, the British streaming service.
Kurt, if people want a full list of all these shows, not just AFI, but the ones that are your favorites that they should seek out, the best way to do it is go to your website, right?
Well, yeah, sure. I'll put that up sometime.
Right. Yeah, please do, because a lot of these look interesting to me, and I don't know that much about them. TVshowpatrol.com is the website. His name's Kurt Wagner. And, Kurt, thanks a lot. We'll talk to you next week.
All right.
Take care.
Talk to you later. Have a good one.
Thanks,
Happy Kirk Douglas's birthday. Did he hang up already?
Yes.
He missed it. All right, we'll take a quick break, then some news, then Frank Fontana and Mrs. Fontana will be with us.
Sherry.
We've never met Sherry Fontana. She'll be in with Frank. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Thank you, Kim Gordon. Bill, you've known me a long time.
A long time.
You don't have to say it like that.
Long, long time.
All right. When I love something, I like to gush.
Yep.
I like to gush about it. Yep. And I have a new favorite show that has just wrapped up its first season. It's called Downtown Shabby. I've watched it on FYI Network, but it's also on A&E. And the host, Frank Fontana, who's also on this very radio station. Hi, Frank.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Frank.
And
hi,
your nutty co-host, who I love as well, Sherry Fontana, your wife.
Hi.
Hi,
just
Sherry.
For the record, Bill introduced me as Mrs. Am
yes.
I like Frank's older grandma?
No.
Because it was Frank and
not
Mrs.
At all.
I think he meant to say mistress.
Mistress is what I meant to say. Thank you very much. No, all I had on my sheet was the Fontanas, and I didn't know your first name because we can't afford a TV. We're not rich like Wendy.
Shut up. All right.
I forgive you.
This show is something I was talking to Bill about it, and Bill, you don't have a lot of house projects that are coming up.
No.
In my mind, there's always something I want better. We've been in our house 19 years. They always say, oh, live in it a while, and then you can decide what you want to do. Well, we've lived in it a while, and now we have ideas. I get so many ideas from Downtown Shabby.
Why, thank you. It's part of the format of the show. It's entertainment, but it's also inspirational, and we want people to have a takeaway from it. You know?
There are people, though, who say, I want a new kitchen. I don't like the way my kitchen is set up.
Yeah.
And what I love about you and your design is you actually... Who was the couple you brought to the LaGrange Theater and showed them their ideas on the big screen?
The
O'Mahonies. Susan and Seamus O'Mahony, a local LaGrange family who, similar to you, lived in a home for like 19 years. It's American Foursquare. And Seamus grew up in LaGrange, went to high school there, and that theater where he took his wife for his first date and all that stuff. So we thought it was really special. We projected their kitchen on the giant screen. Like, Amy Bell, you would have been impressed by this.
That is impressive.
To show
right?
This is what it's going to look like and to be in the theater and to look up and go, oh, my God, I'm going to be living in that.
One of our funnest, right, I would say, the presentations to date.
They loved it. But the great thing is our designs are amazing, but the function that we come up with is really the key.
Mm-hmm.
Because they look great at the end of the day, but people are so amazed at how we let them into, you know, they function for the family, and that's what people really
and that's Sherry's biggest thing is focusing where I'm a big picture design dreamer. She's like reeling me back in. She's like, it's got to function for the family, Frank.
Yeah.
So
I'm like,
means,
this
you know,
island won't fit here because the little kids are going to run into the corner of that. So we work together on really trying to make it awesome, but yet super functional.
Does the network ever say to you guys, hey, you're getting along too much, clash a little bit more? They want that or
they don't need that?
They don't need it. Just happens.
No,
it does.
I'm glad you brought that up, Bill, because I thought you would. working with your wife on a show like this, you know, and we do this in real life. We have a Fontana home renovation business, and we're doing all sorts of projects from commercial to residential, and it's what we do in our real life. And then bringing that on television with not just your wife, but your kids.
Oh, yeah.
And their real projects with – so, you know, in a normal time frame, what you saw on that show, those renovations would have been easily 6 to 8 month projects. For the show
– that long.
Oh, yeah. We had to condense them down to basically 3 months worth of actual construction, which is insanity.
The pressure, the stress was insane.
I would think.
And if you couldn't tell, I can't hold back.
Oh.
So I can't like save it for when we're done shooting or save it for when the kids go to sleep. I'm like, oh, no, we need to talk about it right now. So there was a lot of those moments where we didn't get into it, but it was like
a little bit of pressure.
Yeah, tiny bit of pressure.
Bill, I'm sure you wake up and some days you and your wife don't agree on everything. And then
that has never happened, no.
Never.
Seriously,
his
life is perfect.
Yep. I want to be Bill.
I don't.
Really?
But this is boring.
This is good news, though, for whoever's house you're working on, because what normally would have taken, like you said, 8 or 9 months, all of a sudden 3 months and everything's great.
It is, but it's not. You know, because with that, in reality, is that the expectations of completion, the expectations of everything being also ramped up for television. You know, so there's so much like emotion, because your home in general is just such an emotional, personal thing to have people in your space and then converting. Couple that with a camera in your face all day long. So we would literally roll up to the set and, you know, be like disagreeing on something, and literally it's like action. Oh, hey, Cher, what do you think about that cabinet? You know, and it was like, oh my God, we were just like brawling 2 seconds ago, you know, about a topic.
I know, but now on a much smaller scale, my husband and I podcasted together for a while, Snide Remarks Radio. It's still out in the internet up there. And we would save our fights for when we did the podcast, and we were nicer to one another because people were listening. So when we stopped doing the podcast, when I got back together with Bill, now my husband and I have to go to therapy because we're not nice to each other anymore because there's no cameras watching.
So maybe we should do that.
Go
That's
to
a
therapy?
Good idea.
This will be
during the off season.
Yeah, during the off season, we'll go to
do
therapy.
A podcast. Air it out. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, you should do a podcast.
This will be great for you guys. Ask the Goslins; they'll tell you nothing's better for a family.
Of course, right?
All right. So renovations. People have ideas, and they watch your show, and it's like, wow, I could really achieve that because it gives you an idea of the cost and what to expect. And part of that what to expect is like all of a sudden you'll pull down a wall and maybe there will be asbestos or maybe there will be termites. Mm. And these are real problems that present their ugly heads while you're renovating.
Oh, yes. Sherry, we call Sherry the wrecking ball. That's been her hashtag wrecking ball, Sherry. Her passion is demolition. And she's the one who usually sticks the hammer through the wall and finds the amazing gifts that are left
so
for us.
I really get in there, and I've done this for a long time. When I had my first apartment years ago, if I wanted to change the paint, I would just go buy the paint and change it. If I wanted to change a tile, I would, you know, jack up the tile and start from scratch. So I've made a lot of mistakes along the way, but I'm the one that gets in there really and just starts knocking everything down. And I'm usually scaring the homeowner because they don't expect it. And then they're looking at me like, what is she doing? And Frank's like, oh, it's fine. It's fine. But it's my favorite part because you do discover either great, amazing old tile that's been there for years or, mice, infested mice.
Oh, thousand-year-old mice.
Live there forever.
We found, like, preserved skeletal, remnants of mice that have been in this home for over 100 years. It was amazing.
But don't you need to, like, day one, don't you have to figure out what the load-bearing walls are and go, that's one I don't want to mess with too much, right? That's
no,
immediate?
Not really.
No?
No, you do. You definitely do.
I am impressed.
And so we'll go in there, and it's
his wife told him that.
Yeah. I was going to say, he did not know what load-bearing really is.
Yeah,
I mean,
first you call me Mrs. Fontana, now you're talking load-bearing walls.
Yeah, well, somebody's been Googling. Yes.
But yes, you do. And there's a way, and that's the easy part. You know, if we can't tell what those are, we'll get our structural engineer in there. So yes, you do have to be careful. And sometimes I've knocked some things down that they wanted to maybe preserve. And
it happened in a couple episodes. Yeah. You know, but that's why you got to just reel her in. Calm her down a little bit.
Yeah.
You mentioned the demolition. Part of the fun of watching this show is, like, say the family's going to get a new kitchen. All the cabinets are going to come down. So Sherry comes in. She's a slight woman who packs a mean sledgehammer. And she will give a lot of times the first blow to the owners of the home because it's kind of therapeutic. It's like, get rid of the old, let's get the new. And that's kind of an exciting moment watching that on TV. And I like the demolition.
Generally speaking, people do. And you know, in our rule of thumb in our normal business is we try to recycle, preserve, and you know, give back as much as possible. But these are real contracts, real homeowners, real hatred towards existing elements in their home that they want to see gone at any cost. As a matter of fact, they are thrilled to take the sledgehammer out of Sherry's hand and have their way with it. Because it's like you said, it's therapy.
I would never feel brave enough to take a sledgehammer out of your hand ever.
I warn you, I'd be very careful.
See how I lost this thumbnail?
That's how.
I tried one time.
You're pretty good with the Sawzall too.
I love it. I've been using tools like this for years, and so to teach people and to have the homeowners really like involved and learning from me was really rewarding.
This is her first foray on television, by the way. She's never done TV.
This is it.
And I have no secret dream of wanting to be on television. So it wasn't my like secret dream. It just kind of happened with us.
Yeah.
But the first shoot we did, I mean, my heart was beating so fast and the sound guy was like, you need to go calm down because I can hear you through the microphone.
He literally came over to me. He's like, are you okay?
And those are the marriage moments where I went to Frank in the bathroom. I'm like, I can't do this. Like, we need to figure it out because I'm not going back out there.
Yeah.
And then I'd say maybe 2 days later, I was like, I'm just going to be myself. People will love me or hate me, but that's all I can do. And then I was fine.
And a little bit of vino.
Sometimes.
It solves everything.
Yeah. Yep. Good.
All right. We're talking to Frank Fontana, Sherry Fontana. They're the hosts of FYI's and A&E's Downtown Shabby. You have wrapped the full first season. It's over.
Yep. You can catch the final episode tomorrow on A&E. I believe it's 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock a.m.
It's 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock a.m. Central. Than whatever around the rest of the world. And they're available online and podcasts and all that. I know you've been watching it on your iPad, right?
I am like completely hooked on the show. But now I want every room of my house updated.
No problem.
No, it is a problem. It's pretty expensive.
It'll take a weekend, right?
Yeah,
get that
easy.
Done in a few days.
Yeah,
no problem.
All right, frankfontana.net is the website. We'll be back with Frank and Sherry Fontana at 720 WGN. It's Bill and Wendy. We're talking with Frank and Sherry Fontana. They are hosts of my new favorite TV show, Downtown Shabby. It's renovation. Was there a certain group of homes you guys were taking in on this first season?
Yeah. This season, we were really focusing on old Victorian, at least 100-year-old. And that's what most of them.
But generally speaking, from 1950 and older, we didn't want to do anything new. The unique part of our show, unlike other shows like Fixer Upper or other couple related shows, we run the gamut of design styles. Where a show like, let's just say Fixer Upper, is very one dimensional. It's shiplap, it's country, it's that kind of rustic chic look. We do that. But we also do mid-century modern. We do contemporary. We do, Moroccan. Whatever the client asks for,
Moroccan?
I've done Moroccan before. Not on this show, but I've done Moroccan before. That was back on my Design and Dime days.
If this car's Moroccan, don't bother knocking. I remember that episode. That was the best.
That was our lead-in.
So
yes.
For season two, fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed, yep.
We're all hoping there's a season two.
Yeah.
How will the show change in season two? Do you know yet, or is that not been decided?
You know,
it depends on who you ask.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So Frank will have a new co-host, a new wife,
with
him.
I hope that's not the
I'm
case.
Available, Frank, and I'm pretty handy.
There's a short list for fillings. Sophia Vergara is on the top
yeah.
one.
Oh, my God. That's nice.
Wendy's on the other list.
Yeah. So,
we'll go with Wendy.
I think that's an ouch.
That's a bad.
That was a good. You're on the top of the list.
But you say you've done all these different styles, and I like to mix. We have an old Victorian home, built in the 1860s. Wow. But I like some modern twist to it too. So you can mix old with new, can't you?
Certainly. I mean, you do. But there's an art to it. You can't just stick new stuff in there. You have to pay. Tribute to what exists while making sure it's all cohesive and there's a color balance, a multi-tone wood balance because, a lot of the old wood in the home is oak, stained oak. So, if it's not stained the right color, it could be kind of dated. If it's more of that orangey honey look, people tend to go, ew.
That's my floor.
Yeah. So you hate it, right?
Yeah, I hate it.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And that was our biggest challenge is a lot of these homes, we wanted to try to preserve the character as much as possible, but they just were not functioning for today's modern family.
Yeah.
So we had to really, try to preserve character, but also make them work for, a family of five.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Bill, go ahead.
There's additions near me. I live north of here, and there are a couple of people who have put on additions to their homes where their homes were built turn of the century, maybe the 10s, the 20s in there. And then they put on an addition that is a very modern-looking addition, and I think it ruins the look of the house because it's like the house can't decide which era it's in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, honestly, there's a couple reasons for that. It could be budgetary, where they just don't have the capital to continue the exterior look.
Maybe.
Or just poor advisement of the contractor to say, hey, yeah, we'll throw some brick up there. It won't look bad.
Yeah.
We did several additions on the show, and we do them in, our real business. It just takes a little more time. You got to match siding. You have to, find the right plaster people to match. So it's one of those things. So people either go, I don't care. I just need this interior space. The exterior is not a big concern to me. But you're right. I think to me it's an abomination.
Yeah.
and you also, for resale, want to make sure you make it cohesive on the outside as well as on the inside.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. And part of that is you don't know where to begin. Like, who do you talk to? So you need someone who's going to tell you there are various choices. There was one episode, Bill. This was an old Victorian house, and there were old fireplaces in the bedrooms upstairs. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they were 100% functioning, but they were definitely there. And there was was one in a kid's room, and one of the wife said, you know, no, I want that out of there. I want it completely rehabbed and modern. And the husband's like, that's part of the charm of the room.
Right.
That was a tough thing to watch in the episode, because I know you guys wanted to maintain the integrity of that old home, but if a client wants something different, don't you have to listen to them?
We do, ultimately. And a lot of times I like to go in there and like analyze the relationship and try to keep the peace. And so I'm like a psychiatrist background. So when I see the tension between the homeowners, I'm always trying to like, okay, let's back up and let's take it step by step. But you're right. Ultimately, we have to do what they want. And sometimes it's tough. You know, we go home at night and say, that fireplace has to stay. And I like can't sleep at night. And then I wake up and think, okay, it's their money. We can only advise them, but in the end, they'll do what they want.
Let's be real. I mean, in that particular episode, and in most situations in real life, who ultimately wins?
The wife.
There you go. Simple. It's not.
And that's the way Jim,
that's the way it should be. It's better for everybody.
It really is. It really is. We implement that rule at home, don't we, honey?
This is the first I'm hearing of that rule. Absolutely not.
The understanding when, again, the mics are on or the cameras are rolling, but behind
Bill was sincere when he said that.
I was sincere.
You answered very quickly, by the way, Bill.
What about T-beams?
T-beams?
What are those?
I don't know. I know that it's a building term. That's all I know.
I-beams.
Are you for high? T-beams. Are you against them? I'm pro T-beam. Are you pro T-beam?
In the right situation, I like a good T-beam.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Speaking of T-beams, we found in...
There's a sentence that's never been said before.
Right. Is there a website for sentences that have never been said before?
Yeah, I'm going to start one.
There you go. Boom.
I am.
We found a giant... It was an Evanston home, and it was an old inn, 5,000 square feet.
Yeah.
Four stories. We found a giant, I would say at least foot and a half round T-beam.
You did?
From an old industrial building. I don't even know if that's a real term.
Something that you would find in a huge commercial space. Nothing you would find in a home. It was so odd, so out of place, and so hard to remove.
Yeah.
That, I mean, it was, have you seen this episode yet?
I haven't seen this one yet.
Oh, you got to see. It's one of the last episodes.
All right.
And I know we got to go, but it took 10 guys, it weighed
and a girl,
yeah,
over 2,000 pounds to remove this giant beam that was holding up three stories of a brick chimney that was removed.
That's a T-beam, Wendy.
That's a T-beam.
Good question,
now we're
Bill.
Talking. Thank you.
All right, if you want to go to frankfontana.net, so many great ideas there. I mean, you can make your walls look like fake barnwood, although it's not fake,
and it's
really.
Real barnwood. Yeah. And you know, we do, a lot of people ask, do we actually take on clients? Do we actually do the, you know, real jobs outside of the show? Absolutely. Just visit our website, frankfontana.net. Drop us an email, frank@frankfontana.net. We'll come out and take a look at your job.
Very nice.
All right, I'm going to go visit your website because I'd like to make an appointment with both of you.
Do it.
All right, Frank Fontana, you can hear him. When are you on Sunday?
Sundays from 1 to 3 every Sunday.
Sherry, do you have a show yet on the station?
I'm working on it.
Come in. We'll get that
She's
done.
Taking my job.
Okay, go to frankfontana.net and definitely check out Downtown Shabby. You can find it on the FYI Network. Also, A&E is running it. Get caught up because it's a great show, and good luck for season 2.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Fingers crossed.
All right, Kim. Thank you very much. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And I heard you talking about the snow.
Coming.
It is coming, and there's no way we're going to dodge a bullet, right?
No, I was just looking at a map, and they're saying, you know, the Chicago area and north, it looks like it's going to be the worst, possibly 8 to 12 inches. And as you go south of the city, it's going to be less, but everybody's going to get some snow. It's going to be a white Christmas. It's going to stick around, I think.
I hope you're right. I would like that. This starts Saturday night, and it runs through most of Sunday.
Early Monday morning, 3 a.m. Monday is when the winter weather, the storm watch expires. But, you know, that could all change. And I'm sure we're going to talk to Tom this afternoon, and he'll update it.
Yeah. Okay.
You're with us for the rest of the afternoon?
I am.
Awesome. I like working with Kim.
Happy anniversary, by the way.
Happy
anniversary,
Kim
Gordon.
It's just been a whirlwind. You have no idea what it's been like.
You
31 years, unbelievable.
On my day off Friday, I heard you say that. You're a jerk. A lovable jerk.
A jerk, or do I care about the people I work with?
But then it continues because I was on with Frank Fontana on Sunday, and he wished me a happy anniversary.
Yeah.
Wasn't that lovely of him?
Everybody wants you and your husband to enjoy themselves on your 31st anniversary. What's wrong with
that? It's such a milestone.
Yes.
I hope it was happy after all these wishes.
It really was. It really was.
And on 31, you give each other Baskin-Robbins, right? Isn't that the official gift of 31 years together?
Yeah, 31 flavors.
Yep.
I take back my jerk comment because you must be a joy to be married to.
You don't have to tell me.
Never a dull moment, I'm sure.
That's for sure. That's 100% for sure.
Well, speaking of being married, my husband is going to L.A. for the red carpet premiere of Rogue One. He leaves Saturday probably about 10 a.m., so mm-hmm. it looks like
he should dodge the bullet, I think.
All
right. He'll be fine.
But then he's doing a whirlwind, and he's returning Sunday afternoon.
You won't see him
He
then.
Won't
that
land.
That might not happen.
No.
What happens if the planes don't land? Where do you go? Do you just not get on the flight? Well, do you know if a flight is canceled before you get on it?
Usually when it's weather like that, they will. They usually cancel. He just has to keep checking in. I mean, you know, well, he's stuck in L.A., darn.
I know. He doesn't get an extra day in L.A. When last time he went away, it snowed. He is picking the most convenient times to go away. I have just had knee surgery.
Yes.
I had to shovel last time. I have two teenage boys. Why the hell aren't they out shoveling?
That's a good question. Why aren't they?
Because they start shoveling and then they start whipping snowballs at each other and make a bigger mess. Get in the house. Mom will do it.
Doesn't seem right, does it?
I'm canceling Jim's trip.
You can't cancel his trip. This is the movie people have waited a year to see since the last Star Wars movie.
Why do people wait for it? I am so impatient. I can't wait for anything.
But this is his business. He has to see it opening day or somebody will tell him the end that Rosebud's the sled and then it'll ruin everything.
I'm going to need Rosebud to get through the land. 8 to 12 inches is what they're calling for.
In some places.
We had 6 where we were last time.
On Sunday,
yeah.
Right?
Was that last weekend already?
Yeah. Yeah.
I've blocked it out.
Yeah.
See, that's what I don't... I'm not going to complain because I know we live in Chicago, and really, I'm not going to be one of the complainers. I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
It just would be better if we could gradually do things. Like, we kind of went from summer to winter.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, 80 degrees, and then the next day it was 30.
Right. Dropped off quick.
We went from, you know, boy, it's the latest time we've never seen snow, and then we get dumped on.
Yeah.
Let's go gradually.
You want a more gradual descent? Yeah, but if you look at it, it was so nice deep into November, so nice that if your plan were to take effect, it would have been colder, a little bit colder, a little bit colder, a little bit colder. I'd rather it be nice and warm through most of November and then fall down like it did.
You
then
do?
At least you get to play outside. Yeah, I was outside constantly well into November.
I just think even the trees were confused because when the big snow dumped, there were still leaves on a couple trees. Not all of them, but some were like, we were going into my son's Madrigal concert last night and the couple walking in front of me. Made me smile because the woman said, look at that poor pear tree. It's so confused. The leaves are still on the tree. Mm-hmm. And the husband's like, what?
Yeah. Because most trees don't get confused no matter what you do or say to them. Most trees are pretty even balanced.
No, but I mean, the husband was like,
he
wasn't
even
listening.
It. Right.
Pear
right.
tree.
Yeah, I understand.
Is there a partridge in it?
Don't you want, though, for the month of December, as you're leading into the holidays, don't you kind of want it? You want it to be white and snowy and don't you? I want it to be.
Yeah, because we did get that blast, and then remember we looked out Monday, and there was hardly a sign that it snowed.
Now, by me, in the northern suburbs, what you said is true. On Monday, we're like, wow, 24 hours ago, there was snow everywhere, and it's almost all gone. The snow stayed all through Monday and into Tuesday, and then by Wednesday, it had really dissipated. But we had a lot of snow into Wednesday.
And I like when it disappears relatively quickly because there's nothing more depressing than when it's freezing out and you look at the snow and it's all muddy.
Right.
From the plows. And so this was like beautiful white little, I was going to say dusting. It wasn't. It was, well, I think, reported almost 8 inches at O'Hare.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yep. It is a lot.
And now we're going to top that.
It seems. It does seem. All right, let's do this. We'll take a break, and then when we come back, this is something I told you off the air the other day. I ordered something that reminds me so much of Christmas when I was a child, and I hadn't seen it in years and years and years, and then I found it on the internet, and I ordered it, and it's arrived, and I brought it in to show you to see if you even remember this.
I can't wait.
It's from the 1960s. We'll explain it in just a little bit. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Choo-choo train.
Yep.
Where's Santa Claus?
Snow, snow,
snow, snow, snow.
All right, we're all in agreement. Snow. Do you know this song?
No, I love it.
This song's great. It's one of my favorite
Christmas
songs.
Is that Bing?
That's Bing. That's not Bing.
I want to wash my hands, my face, and hair with
That's
snow.
Judy Pilak from the newsroom.
She wishes.
All right. When I was a kid, a long, 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 long
when does that
time
end?
Ago, I still am, I guess. And to prove your point, I still when I see things that remind me of my childhood, I have this thing where I can't just look at them. I say, I need to own that. I want to buy that. That reminds me of when I was 6 or 9 or 11, and it's great to look at it, but I want it.
I have actually seen you jump up and down and point to things.
Yeah, I get very excited when I see things that I'm nostalgic for. All right, flashback to the 1960s. Where I grew up, I grew up in an apartment from the time I was 0 until I was 4. I lived in a very small apartment with my mom and dad, and then later my brother. And almost all the apartments in our apartment complex did this thing at Christmas where they would put stencils in their windows, Christmas stencils, and almost always they would use this white stuff, this spray stuff, and you'd have these beautiful scenes of Santa and reindeer.
It was textured, kind of, wasn't it?
It was textured, yes.
Flocking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. I loved it. When I was a kid, I would just stay. It was amazing to me the different pictures you could make. So you had a nativity scene sometimes, or sometimes you had Santa Claus and the 8 or 9 reindeer, or sometimes you had toy soldiers or bells or whatever. But nearly every apartment did this every year, and we did it one year. It didn't come out as good. Some of the people were better at it than others. One family, I don't remember their names, but they did theirs in colors. And even though I appreciate color,
not
it looks
same.
Better in just white. All right?
We never did it.
You never did, but you saw people
I've
who did
I've seen
it, right?
It. Some people would actually make it look like there was snow gathered in the corner yes. of the window, and they
Isn't
did a beautiful
something?
Job. Yeah,
love that. Love that.
I've never done that.
All right, so in my head, I still remembered the display that they had at Jewel that sold these stencils. Now, keep in mind, this is the mid-1960s, 1965, 1966. So online, I'd been looking for it for years and years and years, and I finally found the exact package. It's a little girl whose eyes are freakishly wide. She is so enchanted with the Christmas stencils. And I found a package that has not been used. It's been opened, but for some reason they never did it, so they're all in here. So my plan was, I'll order this, which I did because I'm showing it to you, and I'll do this on the windows at home, and I'll be a hero because my family will say Christmas was good, but now it's even better because we have Christmas
You're making
stencils.
Christmas great again.
That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to be the Justin Timberlake of Christmas. I'm making Christmas sexy again. So then...
I didn't say sexy. That was your own word.
I added that. I showed this to Terry, my wife, and Reese, one of my daughters, and they laughed and they said, that belonged in the 1960s. It does not belong in today's world. And we would be a laughingstock if we were to put this in our windows. And that's hurtful, isn't it? This should go in our windows.
We never did it. You kind of got me a little excited about it, like maybe I should try it. But I don't remember that display at
you
all.
Remember
you
these?
You could get that at the Jewel?
Yeah, Jewel sold these.
It says grocery. The sticker says grocery.
Yeah, and it was 35 cents, and then it was marked down to 15 cents.
That was on December 26th. Half price.
I think it was.
Well, not quite half.
But I paid considerably more for it.
$1,500?
No, not that much.
I
no.
swear to you, I don't remember ever seeing that.
You don't remember these?
Well, what would happen if you stenciled your windows and do you have the flocking in the can? I guess you can still get
right.
that.
They show a way on the back to do it, to make it in almost what looks like a cupcake tin.
That is what it is.
Is that exactly what it is?
Tin.
A muffin tin. So they show a way
you
that you
know
can
the
make...
muffin tin?
You could make your own, but now they have all those like spray-on snow things, so you could just do that.
I can't believe, is that what people did back in the 50s? With
yeah.
the And where do you get glass wax, and what is glass wax?
It's like Johnson wax for floors. It's
it says
similar.
Glass.
Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah, the ones you see today, it doesn't say glass anymore. It's just like a varnish or a wax. I've seen that in hobby stores. You can still get that.
You but, still go to hobby stores,
yeah,
don't you?
I go to hobby stores. But the best way to do it is get that spray on snow and just put the stencil down and do it. So I was going to do this.
So
on
do
my,
it.
No, because they go, no, that's, you can't put that in the windows.
Bill, we did it for years with Hanukkah decorations.
Did you?
Before you could find them, you know, before they had Hanukkah decorations. And my mom used to have like cutouts of menorahs and dreidels, and she would spray them on the windows with that snow.
And didn't it look great?
Yeah, it looked cool. I mean, it was all we had, so it was awesome. It was like, you know, great decoration.
I get that.
I'm still questioning your description of glass wax. Sue, you know what glass wax is?
Glass wax in the 1950s, because I'm a little bit older, it would come in like a tin.
Like turpentine, it looks like.
Well, you'd shake it up, and then I guess apparently you did your windows with it, let it dry, and then it cleared off the windows. Well, if you took a sponge and dipped it in this glass wax and just went through the stencil, and you take the stencil off, it would dry, and that's the original how they made it look like snow and Santa Claus and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But now they don't have the glass wax.
Oh, they don't sell that at all? I thought you could get it at hobby stores.
Well, maybe they do, but
so it would dry on your window. Like, say you're not using it for stencils, you would put it on your window, and then
when it would dry, you'd wipe it off with a soft cloth, and your glass was clean.
So, like car wax,
Okay,
like
Now
I get it.
Yeah, because that almost looks exactly like if you get Johnson's car wax for your car.
Maybe
that's almost identical.
Put that on your windows.
I could do that.
In fact, if the girls won't let you put it on your windows at home, use car wax and put it on your Jeep.
Now we're talking.
Put it on the car windows.
Not to obscure your obscure your vision, but you know, maybe a little menorah since you're half Jewish.
Yeah, put that on one side.
And maybe a baby Jesus on the other side.
Sure. I like
Christmas
that idea.
Christmas tree.
Yep. Picture of Shecky Green.
Thank you, Sue.
Everybody.
Have a great holiday.
Thanks, Sue.
You too.
That's not a bad idea. I'll put it on my car windows.
And then you could put the giant wreath on the front and then reindeer horns on your car.
I'll do it. I'm not afraid to
do it.
Maybe
some truck nuts.
Maybe. If everything goes well, we'll see what happens. But don't you think, like, if there was something that you waited years and years and years for and it reminded you of your childhood, shouldn't your family give in to that and go, well, it makes them happy. Let's just let them do it.
Listen, 9 out of 10 times I side with your family when it comes to...
I do, too. And it's me.
But there are certain things that I say, wow, that's cold.
Right.
Hi, Philip.
Hello. How are you guys today?
Really good,
Philip. We're reminiscing.
Yes.
Yes, obviously. Have to tell you an interesting story. I just had my electric fireplace serviced where they come out, take the glass window off and clean it up, and they do some things with the logs and whatnot.
Yeah.
And what does the gentleman spray on the inside of the glass to clean it?
What?
It's glass wax.
Oh, he still does. Right. All right, good.
That's right. And you had it said right on the bottle, glass wax. So you can buy it at any electric fireplace store that services the fireplaces.
So it's findable.
I commented on it because I said, I've never seen something like that before. And he said, he said, it's been around a long time. It's glass wax.
That's excellent. Why Bill Leff knows about
that's
it.
That's why, right. I only know stuff from 40 years ago, from today.
You know what you ought to do, Bill? You ought to do the corners of the windows in your car.
That's what Wendy's saying. Yeah. I like
that
idea.
I said in the house, though, in the car would be better.
Yeah.
Make it look like it snowed on the inside of your car.
Then the kids would never ride with you.
No, that's true. All right. I like your idea.
Could be a blessing.
Well, thank you, Philip. Appreciate it. And to you. Thanks.
Merry Christmas. There, I did it. I didn't just say happy holidays. I can't believe they're not going to let you do it.
No,
they're not even going to give you one.
No, they said I could do it in the toy room in the office.
Well, then I would take them up on that.
Just do it in there only. I just want to point one more thing out to you. And I'll put a picture up on our Facebook page of the Christmas stencils.
For glass
wax. 1966, I think. 1966. All right. So the artwork on here, it's a woman, it's a little girl looking out her window at the work she's done, the stencils. And I don't know if you remember, but almost any time they showed a kid in a product back then, if it was a game, they always had that same startled look. I don't know what was going on in 1966 that every child was startled, but anytime you saw them in the ad for anything, their eyes were as big as could possibly be. They were amazed at whatever the product was.
Well, yeah, it's not startled. It's amazed because the smile on her face is showing she is beaming with joy. She's wide-eyed and smiling.
But if you saw a girl who looked like this, you'd you'd be afraid for her. You'd think whatever.
I'd think she was a zombie.
Right. She's really got that kind of a look, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So we'll put a picture of this, the Christmas stencils, up on the Facebook page. Stick around. A lot more show, including Tony Orlando later on. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Everywhere you go.
I got to start shopping.
Yes.
We're putting the tree up tonight.
Yeah.
The trees, I should say.
Isn't that fun? Aren't you looking forward to that?
Yeah, and as I'm talking to you about these stencils off the air, you think back, my aunt, that was her name.
Aunt, who you called aunt.
Yeah. Every year she gave us 3 to 5 ornaments for St. Nicholas Day, and until I was about 30, so what is that, 900 ornaments?
That's a lot of ornaments.
And I pull them out, and I will be pulling them out of the box when we put up the tree this weekend. And you're going to think back to a time when life was easy because you were a kid.
Yes. Yes.
And you had the stencils that you purchased. And
Kevin has put the pictures, by the way, up on eBay. On eBay. I'm not selling them. I just bought them. They're on our Facebook
page. Where you got them?
Yeah, I got them on eBay. I did. All right. So if you want to see these stencils I'm referring to from 1966, take a look at Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on Facebook, and you'll see the ones I'm referring to.
Tracy, you can relate to this. You sprayed your windows as a kid? Tracy?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't hear you. Yes, actually, I'm a child of the 60s, and my mom was a single mom. We lived in an apartment, and so we didn't do the stencil. My mom was very creative, and she would take Scotch tape, and she would make squares on or rectangles on the window, like, like it was, I don't know, an insert in the window, and then she would do the snow in there, and then peel the tape off. And that definitely, I thought that was great when you were talking about something that you remembered from the 60s. That was exactly what came in my head, but I thought, well, surely he's not talking about that.
I bet that's beautiful. Do you have pictures of that?
No.
You didn't take pictures?
No, I
Who had a camera back then?
Right? Well, yeah. We sure as heck didn't.
Yeah.
It's funny because I remember her doing that, and that there was like even a smell to it. I don't know, I hope it's not toxic anymore. I would assume. Well, I've always worried about that now in this day and age.
What was creating that smell though? What was that from?
I don't know, but I don't know. I don't remember. To me, when we had an artificial tree, so it wasn't from the tree, but it was almost like a pine smell. I don't know. I don't know if they scented it or not, but to me there was there's like a certain smell to things that remind you. But
rubber cement is mine. I love the smell of rubber cement.
Yeah, don't do too much of that.
No, I don't do it anymore. I gave it up.
But what I wanted to say is, so Bill, you have daughters?
Yeah, okay. Two daughters. Yeah.
Okay, because it was me and my sister, and by the end of the Christmas season, my sister and I would inevitably have scratched into the snow, making little faces or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to do this for my kids. I'm a single mom, but I have two boys, and they're teenage boys now. And
I feel you.
They're notorious for drawing things in the dirt on my car, like inappropriate male genitalia and stuff like that.
Sure.
So I don't think you'd have a problem, but that's why I don't do the snow in my window, because I don't think my neighbors would appreciate my kids' artwork.
Right.
I'm glad to know it's not just my boys that do things like that, Tracy.
Oh.
We need to go out and have a drink and discuss it.
Absolutely. They live to embarrass me.
Sure. I get that. All right.
So, happy holidays, you guys. You reminded me of something, and we, again, being a single mom and with two kids, and there were these simple things, and that was really one of them, and that reminded me of that.
Isn't that crazy, though, that those little moments, that's what makes the holiday, is you think back, because over the years you accumulate dozens, hundreds of those probably, so whatever sparks those memories, that's a good thing.
It is, and, we need to remember that, because...
Yeah.
These days, it's different, and it's easier to give your kids more and not have those very simple things that really make memories that are really important.
Yep.
Amen to
so
that.
True. Thanks,
Happy
Trace.
Holidays.
Take care.
You guys, thanks. Bye.
I think I could have said Merry Christmas to her because she put Christmas trees up and things like that. Yeah. But you have made me nervous.
Kevin, call her back so that Wendy can say Merry Christmas to Tracy.
Well, I have said that, you know, I'm not against Christmas. I'm not being politically correct saying Happy Holidays.
Yeah.
I have been in the past always saying Happy Merry Christmas. I celebrate Christmas, but I don't want to say it to someone who doesn't celebrate Christmas.
Right.
And you said, oh, God, everybody understands.
You're fine.
And I said Merry Christmas to someone today. And the
rabbi
pointed out she was Jewish.
Yeah.
She wasn't offended. I just... You know,
you just didn't know how to.
So well, now it's just Happy Holidays.
That's yeah, yeah.
Didn't they combine them like Happy, Merry
Christmaka?
Yeah, I've heard people
Kwanzaa's
say that.
In there. It's
you know what? When people say Merry Christmas to me, I love it. It doesn't bother
right.
me.
Why would it
All right,
bother?
Good.
What difference does it make?
Right.
People are just trying to wish you well, and they mean well. So.
Well, I'm just going to say,
no,
I wish
you
well,
sir.
I
don't walk around with a Jewish star on my head. How do
no,
they know?
Right.
They don't. Kevin, you know the name of the thing they combined?
Merry Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa.
That's what it is.
Bless you. All right.
That's all of them together.
Oh, God. We are reminiscing about Christmas. This is awesome, Bill. Great idea.
Sure.
You and your stencils. See
it
what
paid
you did.
Off.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi. How are you?
Fine, Kathy. What you have a memory you wanted to share with us?
Yes. I have several friends who are of the Lithuanian nationality, and they make ornaments out of drinking straws.
They do? How do they do that?
They take the regular children's drinking straws or any straws.
Yeah.
And they cut them like the tips on an angle.
Yeah.
And they take a needle with a heavier gauge of thread and put the needle through the drinking part of the straw and make different types of ornaments.
So like if you cut it at an angle, it would actually make a corner. So if you wanted to make a straw
yeah.
or something like that, is that what
yeah.
you mean?
Uh-huh.
How about that?
Remember when you'd take the two popsicle sticks and you'd put yarn around it?
Yes.
I have a bunch of those on my tree.
I mean, you can make them round, and then from that point on, then they stick the needle through the straw and make whatever design you want to do in that.
And that's Lithuanian.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Well, Merry Christmas to you.
So, Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you very much. Thanks for calling. It worked that time.
Yeah.
Roberta's on the line. She wants to talk to us. We're reminiscing about the wonderful world of Christmas, or Hanukkah, if that's what you celebrate. Hi, Roberta.
Hi there. It's so nice to talk to you guys. I really enjoy your program.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, now this is going to be a real oldie. I'm 78.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom used to take me downtown, and I think it was either Weebolt's or the fair,
mm-hmm.
one of those stores. And inside, when you went in, they had a little musical show with live people, little people.
Like
it was little
people, little people like you know, vertically challenged?
No. It was a musical show.
Yeah.
And they danced and they sang. And I want to know if anybody else remembers this because I remember it.
And it may have been at Weebolt's, you believe, right? You said?
I believe. So it would have been the early 40s.
The early 40s. And you don't remember what the shows were called? There wasn't a name on them, right?
No. It just was a bunch of little people, and they sang and danced. And then they had, like, an apartment set up where you
yeah.
could go look at it, and it had all the miniature furniture in there that they supposedly lived there.
Mm, that sounds intriguing.
Okay. It was very
Were they real people?
They were real people, yes. It was like a little musical stage show.
And were they making them out to be like Santa's elves or something? Or what did they do for a living?
No.
It sounded responsible.
They were singing and dancing.
They were
like
just
you
singing
and dancing,
like show people. All right.
It was on a stage, yeah. You sat and watched a show.
And when you say little, about how little is little, Roberta? Like what would be their height, would you say?
Well, we used to call them midgets, which is inappropriate
right.
now. Now they call them little people.
Yes.
Okay, they weren't kids. They were people.
Right. Okay, interesting. I wonder
and nobody
what that
else could remember this. And I know I saw it at least 2 years.
All right.
I was down there twice.
Always at Christmas time.
Oh yeah, just at Christmas when we went to look at the windows.
Yeah. Boy,
and if anybody else can remember this, because I think I'm the only one in the world that does.
No, I'm sure somebody else out there has seen this or heard of this. All right, so that's all we know. Is it sometime in the, you said in the 50s?
No, in the early 40s.
40s, in the 40s. And we think maybe at Weebolt's, and they were little people, and that's what we know. All right, we'll see if we
okay.
can figure this out.
You do that. See if you
all
can
right.
get better than me.
All right, let's see if we can. All right, well, thank you, Roberta.
Thank you and Merry Christmas.
Have a good holiday. All right.
Right back at you. Yeah, I feel guilty for what I'm Googling right now. but let
don't
me.
Don't you usually, though?
Yes.
More times than not, don't you? Yeah.
All right, we'll take a break. I'm going to investigate.
We'll figure this out. We'll
I can't even tell you what's in my search bar.
Were at Weebolts and singing and dancing.
They put the Wii in Weebolts.
They did. More in a moment. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. I'd give anything. It's us. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. We're sponsored by Weebolts Little People's Christmas Show, running now through December the 25th.
I can't find anything.
I can't either. I want to see that show so badly, though.
Did anyone call to know or to explain what the Little People Dancing Show
was? I don't see anybody on the board. No.
I don't want to, getting back to your game show, I don't see anyone on the board.
Nothing's on the board. Yes.
All right, we were trying to figure out how to combine all the holidays, and Kevin tried to do it. But, Rich, was that a poor attempt? Do you have something better?
I don't, I'm not saying it was something better, and I'll admit I didn't make this up, but this was like, saw this flicking through the greeting cards, and one of them said on the front, I decided to send everyone the same card this year, so, and it just said dot, dot, dot. When you open it up, it is saying to cover everything. It just said, Merry Christmas, Hana Kwanzadon.
That's the word. Christmas, Kwana Kwanzadon? No. How do you say it? Say it again.
Christmas,
yeah.
For Christmas. Hana for Hanukkah,
yeah.
Kwanzaa for Kwanzaa, and then Don for Ramadan.
Perfect.
So it said, Merry Christmas, Hana Kwanzaa Don. Like, okay, I guess that is if you don't want to buy different cards for people of different faiths. There you go.
But what if you don't know what they celebrate? See, that's what I worry about. If I say Merry Christmas to you, Rich, and you're Jewish, you'll be like, well, then if
they're an atheist, then I guess that card doesn't apply to them. But
oh, you got to add an eighth onto that. Or a
what
yeast.
Do you tell an atheist this time of year? I guess just, hey, it's cold today.
Quit bragging. That's what I would say. Because they do. People who are atheists make a point to say, I'm an atheist, you know.
Not always.
Many of them.
Not always.
Many of them.
You could just say Merry Day.
Merry Day.
Merry Day to you. Unto you.
Or in the case of where it falls on this year, just say, have a nice Sunday.
Right.
I'll tell you, Kim Gordon has the proper answer, Rich. You just walk up to someone and go, warm wishes.
That's it. Leave it at that.
Which this time of year is definitely well appreciated.
Absolutely. Thank you for calling. Happy yep. Christmas, Hans Wakanda Don.
Yeah, thank you.
If somebody said to you, Happy Hanukkah, it wouldn't bother you. Or Happy Kwanzaa, you don't care, do you? You just go, all right.
I'd say, and also with you.
Not 100% accurate, but yeah.
I don't know. Some people like to correct people.
Right.
And, you know, you're proud of what you celebrate. So if somebody says Happy Hanukkah to me, I would say, I don't celebrate it, but I'd like to.
Say that. That's fair.
I guess I should do what Kim said also. Kim Gordon is now my voice of reason. Just say thank you. And then the person you're next to go, can you believe that?
Right. And then hit them with a dreidel. Just whip a dreidel at them.
Stick a menorah up their butt. You guys, we're going to remember this phone call forever because Lois has called in. You remember this Little People show at Weebolts?
I do remember it, but I'm not sure it was at Weebolts because Weebolts featured a show that was on the radio and it was called The Cinnamon Bear.
Right, I've heard of that. Wait, was that Weebolts or was that Marshall Fields?
That was
though?
Weebolts. That was definitely Weebolts.
All right.
And I think maybe that Little People show maybe was at the Fair Store.
Yeah,
what
she
is
said.
The Fair Store?
There was a store called The Fair and it was a little further south on State Street, across the street from Weebolts, on the other side of the, on the east, that would have been the west side of the street.
And was it up year round or just at Christmas time?
The Cinnamon Bear?
No, the fair store.
Fair store was there all the time.
That's always there. All right.
It was a discount department store founded in 1874 in Chicago, Illinois.
Yeah. Yeah, it may have been there, but then because we both featured the Cinnamon Bear.
Right. I've heard those. They have those on tape. What happened during this Little People show? What do you remember from the Little People?
They just sang and danced and moved around.
Yeah.
And, I mean, being a small child, I was amazed by them.
So they just, a lot of singing and dancing and moving around. It's like Cochran's show in the morning, Wendy.
Right. Like the same kind of thing. Yeah.
Were they a family?
I'm not
sure if they were a family. I don't think so, because they were all adults.
Yeah.
I hate to be mean, but this is, you know.
It seems cruel today, but in the 40s.
I know, right.
It didn't seem that cruel.
Not a lot of entertainment choices, I guess.
No, I guess it was work for them. I don't know.
Yeah, you're right.
It gave them opportunity to make money. I don't know. But it was, as a child, you know, you never saw anything like that.
It was mesmerizing when you were a kid to see that. Right. You don't remember the name of the show, do you, by any chance, Lois?
No, I don't. I do not remember the name of the show. But every Christmas, my mother would take us down there, and we would see that. But like I say, I just watched with my eyes open and my mouth open, and I was amazed that these little people were carrying on life. Like you say, now, it would not be a nice thing.
Right.
Yep. Well, Lois, thank you for helping us remember this. Do you celebrate Christmas?
I do celebrate Christmas.
Well, Merry Christmas to you and yours.
Thank you. Merry Christmas to you also.
Thanks, Lois.
And I love your show every day.
Thank you.
I can't wait for your show.
You're the best.
God love you. Yeah. Santa's going to be good to you because you listen to us, I think. And if not, Bill will run over with some gifts.
Yep.
I hope so.
All right.
It will be good, too.
See you in a few weeks.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Why don't you run over there in just your birthday suit and a big bow?
If that's what it takes to make Lois's holiday happy, I will do that. Not above that.
So the Fair store, it's F-A-I-R.
Down State Street.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to think. She said it was further south from where Weebolts was. I don't know exactly where that would be.
Yeah, I never
Weebolts
even heard
was
of
to
that.
The other side of where... I think it'd be north of where Macy's is now, I think.
All right. Well, I'm not finished investigating this. So I know we have Tony Orlando with No Dawn coming up later on. And if I get some information on the Little People show, we'll cancel him.
All right. Sorry, Tony. Precedent. All right. We'll take a quick break, and then we have a lot more to share with you. Stick around. Bill and Money, WGN. Kim, thanks so much. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. In less than a half hour, Tony Orlando will join us. Yes, the Tony Orlando.
He's coming to town, Arcata Theater, tomorrow night, 7:30.
I can't wait. I got to interview him years ago, and he was such a nice guy, so I'm looking forward to this. Wendy, here's what I have found. It's Friday, and it's time to just relax and sit back and have a little fun, so I found these.
All right, let me do that.
Relax. Just lay back. We've done this before. These are fascinating facts. Now, in this case, here's what the story reads. Fascinating facts that make you think twice. So their goal here, Wendy, is to make... I'll tell you what the fact is. You'll think about it for a while, then you'll stop thinking about it, and then if everything goes according to plan, you'll then think about it again.
It's tough for me to think more than once.
That's what makes these special, is that anybody could publish a bunch of facts that make you think once, but over at MSN... These are guaranteed or hopefully will make you think twice. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. Here's some of them. Ready? In Japan, more paper is used to make manga comic books than it is used to make toilet paper. Comic books are popular anywhere in the world. In Japan, their style of comics is manga comics, kind of a kabuki look almost, and they use more paper for those than for toilet paper.
Hang on.
You're thinking about it now. Now stop thinking about it. Now think about it again. See what I mean? Isn't that fun?
It's awesome.
That's fun to think about it twice. There are more trees.
That is surprising. That toilet paper.
Yeah, right. I think they, for some reason, and I've never been to Japan, but for some reason, I think the people there are more economical in their use of toilet paper. Don't ask me why I think that, but I do.
They don't use as many squares as we
I don't
do.
I don't know why.
Because they eat better.
Is that why?
I have no idea.
And in China, those squares are called Tiananmen squares. I know that for a fact, too. There are more trees on Earth than there are stars in the Milky Way galaxy. While the Milky Way boasts 100 billion stars, Earth tops that number with 3 trillion trees.
Still to this day?
As we speak, right now. There are way, way, way more trees on our planet than there are stars in the Milky Way galaxy. Now, you've thought about it. Stop. Think of something else. Now think about that again. See what I mean?
This is fun.
The Polish army enlisted a bear during World War II. Wojtek, the Syrian brown bear, eventually gained the rank of corporal and often drank beer and smoked cigarettes.
I have to get a bear like that. I need a new friend.
I think Wojtek the Bear would be, you know, we'd how Grant Mulvey so well. Is my best friend in the whole world? You and Wojtek the Bear would have similar interests.
You know how fun that would be to walk into a bar with Wojtek the Bear?
Yeah.
Hey, you got a smoke?
Yeah.
My bear needs one. My friend.
You could ride him home. You could ride him home at the end of the day if you've had one too many. It'd be
right.
Great.
We're just platonic.
Oh, you're not. Well, oh.
No, Kevin, this isn't a love interest. This is a friend.
You took it there.
Happy Friday, everybody. Happy holidays as well.
A bear and a radio personality go into a bar. That's what people would say when you did that with Wojtek the Bear. Cleopatra, by the way, getting mentions in back-to-back shows.
Yeah, when did we we mentioned her yesterday? For what reason?
During the game that we played.
Oh, yeah, your game.
It was TaylorMade was the game, and Cleopatra got a mention during that, and here she is again. Cleopatra lived closer in time to the moon landing than to the construction of the Great Pyramid of Giza.
That blows my mind.
That's hard to imagine, but it's true.
Wait, I'm going to stop thinking about it.
Stop for a second.
That blows my mind.
See? Twice. A little fun fact about Cleopatra. We will not mention her tomorrow because we're off tomorrow.
Otherwise, we would.
We would have. A mantis shrimp. No, I didn't even know there was such a thing as a mantis shrimp.
I pray I get one day.
A mantis shrimp.
Sorry. Now, that's it's the hard kind for of me thing. To think twice on one thing.
If you were hanging out with Wojtek the Bear and you said that.
That would have killed.
He would have laughed so hard. You'd be able to hear him in the next bar. People would go, I hear a bear laughing somewhere in the distance, but whom?
My thought bubble right now is me and Wojtek the Bear. We're sitting at a bar up
would
north.
Would he wear, before you tell
no
him,
no clothes?
He wouldn't wear his.
He's a bear.
I know, but he reached the rank of corporal. You don't think he would have worn his uniform when
they'd
he was out
fun
drinking?
Of him.
No, they'd buy him drinks. They're like, oh, a corporal from the army.
That would
what are
be
you
silly.
Drinking, bear?
I need to have a naked bear.
All right.
Why do you think it's called a bear?
Oh, that's true. All right.
And I would hope that I was sitting at a bar and the tamale guy would come in, the tamale cart, and I'd love to buy Wojtek a tamale.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Or three, whatever the sale was.
A lot of them. A mantis shrimp can swing its claw so fast that it boils.
How fast is it?
It's so fast, Wendy. It boils the water around it and it creates a flash of light.
Okay, that's freaky.
That is cool.
Wait, now I'm going to stop thinking about
it. Wait a minute. Now think about it again.
Okay, that's freaky.
See what I mean? These things are fun because they make you think twice.
Love it.
Honey does not spoil. You could feasibly eat 3,000-year-old honey.
Now, I'm confused about that.
Why?
Wait, let me think about it again.
Think about it a second time and see if you're still confused.
Now, I'm confused about that. Yeah, because that. Now, I didn't know this till after my babies were older, but babies are not supposed to eat honey.
Right.
Because of what reason? I can't remember. Botulism. So I thought it does spoil. I don't believe that.
You don't believe that one? All right, I'm going to put a C on that one for challenge. Later on, I'm going to challenge.
I've heard that, but I don't know why.
That honey could last forever, Kim?
Yeah.
Or 3,000 years, they said here.
That's amazing.
Sometimes you'd have to be careful because honey comes in the shape, like the container is a bear, and your friend Wojtek the Bear would think you were making fun of him.
He posed for that. No, that was, you know, like Heisman, the Heisman Trophy was after C.B. Berwanger.
Yeah.
Wojtek the Bear was the...
Oh, I didn't know that.
For the honey bear.
I didn't know that at all. All right, so more of these. I'm still thinking about some of these a second time, and they're still amazing to me. These are things that they say will make you think twice. Is it working? 312-981-7200. We'll be back after this. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It's what working us?
I don't know.
Because we're not.
We're not. Thanks, Wendy. It's us. It's Bill. It's Wendy. Her friend Wojtek the Bear stopping by as he does from time to time on a Friday.
You should see him on his unicycle.
Is he good?
Totally.
Later on in the show, unless he's listening, Tony Orlando will join us.
Good point.
Over at MSN, they've put together some facts. Now, these aren't just facts. It says here that these are facts that will make you think twice. So that's the exercise we're doing. We're trying to see if they are, in fact, making us think twice. And so far, they have been.
Could you read the honey one again? Because Lori may have an answer to our questions.
According to MSN, here's the fun fact about honey. Honey does not spoil, ever. You could feasibly eat 3,000-year-old honey. That's what it says.
All right. Well, I mentioned that you're not supposed to give honey to babies, which I didn't know until my kids were older, but I never did, thank God. And I'm also questioning it's spoiling. Laura, you have both answers?
Yes. First of all, no, it doesn't spoil. But the reason you're not supposed to feed babies honey, which you were right, it does have to do with them getting botulism. The organism, the bacteria that causes botulism is called Clostridium botulinum. And all other Clostridium species can go into a dormant phase where they form a spore and they're just sort of, like I said, they're just dormant that way. And they can survive being in harsh environments, like if it's really dry or like it, they can, the spore can be in the honey. And if you feed it to a baby who's got a more delicate, digestive system, then the spore can come out of dormancy and become active and cause botulism in the baby. Now, adults and older children have developed a more robust digestive system. And so that's why we can eat honey with botulism spores in it and not get sick. But for a baby whose system is more delicate, they're more prone to that.
What do you do, Lori, that makes you know this?
Pediatrician or chemist?
Biologist.
Oh, close. All right. Very close, Wendy.
Very interesting, Lori. Thank you for that.
The Clostridium family or genus is the same one that is the tetanus is in, Clostridium tetani.
Yeah.
And so that's sort of the same thing where the spores can be dormant in the soil or whatever, and then if you step on something and you get the spores in your foot or whatever, then the spores can enter the active state and then cause tetanus, to go through your bloodstream.
All right. That makes sense, too. Well, thank you so much, Lori. That's great.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
You too.
Merry Christmas.
You too. Bye-bye.
Worked.
I was going to ask her if honeycomb cereal spoils, but she would have thought I was an idiot.
So honeycomb big.
Yeah.
It's not small.
No. The Spanish national anthem, Wendy, has no words. Instrumental only. Spanish national anthem.
Oh, interesting.
So if you ever get asked to sing it at a sporting event, don't do it because there's no words involved.
What, did Kenny G write it?
Yep.
Would he just la-la-la along?
Yeah.
Or is it Kenny He?
In Spanish, it's Kenny He. Yeah.
Sometimes I kill myself.
Well, you should.
I gotta tell you that.
Laughing-wise. What about this one? I know how much you like The Walking Dead. Kim, do you enjoy The Walking Dead?
Never have watched it.
Oh, you should see it.
Judy kills me because she always wants to talk about it, and I'm like, I
haven't
watch
seen it.
Yeah.
All right, listen to this one, Wendy. This is spooky. Dead people can get goosebumps.
Really?
That's what it says here, MSN. Now, did you think about that?
Yeah.
Stop thinking about it. Think about it again.
Really?
Yes.
Well, that's how can that be once your skin goes away, though?
Right after. Right.
Okay.
But I don't know what would you show a dead guy to make him get
another dead guy.
Yeah, but you guys doubling up at Zany's this weekend?
Yeah, working together again.
But now think about it, because I don't want to get too graphic, and really, especially if Tony Orlando's listening, because he really won't be on the show.
He won't be on if he hears this.
But they say, you know, when dead men die,
yes,
there's some kind of reaction, if you
right.
know what I'm saying.
Right.
Because it's, and I could imagine that reaction happening to your skin.
I guess, like all of
a sudden, blood is not flowing through your body, so there's some kind of change going on.
Right.
I don't know if it's technically goosebumps because they're afraid, but
it gives the appearance
I would imagine that to be true.
Yes. Yep. That's the eeriest one for me so far. When we breathe through our nose, we always inhale more air from one nostril than we do from the other one, and this changes every 15 minutes. Why would you would think it'd be more even?
Equal time.
You would think, the equal time rule. Right? But it's not that way.
I don't believe that either.
They're not in the business of fooling you. They just want to make you think twice over at MSN.
Oh, okay.
Now,
I get it.
All right, we're getting several texts from people saying, do you have any fun facts about the state of Maryland? Yes, we do. The state sport of Maryland is jousting.
I've heard that before.
Have you been? I've been to Baltimore a couple times, and that's all people want to do is sword fight you. It's all they want to do. Can we go out and have some crabs? after we sword fight, then you can have some crabs. Can I bring my bear? He was in the army. Sure.
You can't have my bear. You have Grant Mulvey.
Right. He's my bear.
I get my bear. What's his name again? Whitek?
Whitek the bear. The woolly mammoth, Wendy, was still around when the pyramids were being built. Now, that's weird.
That blows my mind.
In your head, that's a prehistoric animal from, yeah, right?
The hot and cold, though, too. I thought woolly mammoth was in cold areas.
Well, it could be because they're just saying somewhere on the planet. It wasn't there at
the site.
Oh, at the
site. I'm sorry.
They weren't on. No, they weren't at the building site. They were just.
Oh, I thought they were hanging out.
No.
It's like, I don't think there were woolly mammoths.
No.
But that is weird.
Yep.
Right. Another pyramid mentioned.
Yeah.
Wasn't it Cleopatra was closer to the space landing than the pyramid?
Than the construction of the Great Pyramid in Giza. Yeah. All right. Do you want one more? I'll give you one more. Let me see if I can find a good one. Or one that just fits. Here's one. It would take 1,200,000 mosquitoes, each sucking once.
We've sucked many times.
Right.
On the air, I'm talking.
Right. It would take 1,200,000 mosquitoes, each sucking once, just one time, to completely drain the average human of blood. So you'd have to line up 1,200,000 mosquitoes on you. They each get one suck, that's it, once, and then you would be drained of all your blood.
That's good, because we won't have that many on us at one time.
Right. That's what they're saying. So don't, if that's a fear, if that's something you've been fearing, stop fearing it. You can stop now. And your bear can too. Tony Orlando has not heard this, we're being told, and so he will join us after the news.
Hopefully.
That's what we're hoping. Stick around. News is next. Kim will give you the news. And then the one and only Tony Orlando. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Tyler died. Holy night. All is calm.
Wendy, who is this singing like an angel?
Our next guest.
And all is bright.
Mr. Tony Orlando. How are you?
Hello.
Tony.
Hello, Bill.
Tony, great to talk to you. I just want to say this before we say anything else. Years and years ago, Tony, you were in Chicago. I was working in another radio station, and you came in to talk about whatever you wanted to talk about. And I said to you, one of my first questions was, I said, you know, a guy that I love and I miss so much is Freddie Prinze. And I knew you were best friends with Freddie. And we talked about Freddie Prinze for a half an hour. You probably don't remember that day, but what a magical day that was for me.
Well, you know, actually, I do remember that because that's a subject matter a lot of guys stay away from. And I knew you when you brought it up. You were a big fan of his. Excuse me. And it was very warm of you to talk about one of the great, young, bright stars of our business who unfortunately passed away at 22 years old.
Yeah.
And he was like a young brother to me. You're right. And I still miss him, as you do. And for those of you out there listening who never got a chance to hear him live. He was probably one of the funniest stand-up comedians that ever existed at a young age of 20 years old and had a great Chico and the Man television show. And so I appreciated that you brought it up, and I'm sure his son, Freddie Jr., does too, because they usually pick up most of the things that are talked about with him somehow.
Yeah.
So you did everybody a good thing.
As did you. And I remember telling you at the time, you had guest starred on an episode of Chico and the Man, and the chemistry between the two of you was just unmistakable. But I asked you that, I don't know if you remember this, but I said, are there times that you're mad at him? Because I was mad at him for not being around anymore. Do you know what I mean by that?
There was an instant, and there was a moment when Freddie was in this, you know, critical condition. And I was the only person in that room with another nurse, and that was it. And I told him off.
Yeah.
I told him off, and then I ended up by saying, I love you so much. That I said, and furthermore, the world can't afford to lose one more laugh, Freddie. And you certainly brought joy and laughter to the world.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was a complicated person. When someone does something like that to themselves, must be demons inside that I never saw and people never saw. And it was too young to pass on, but he left us a great memory of a great young talent who could have, you know, when he passed away, we were about to sign a motion picture deal together with Bob Hope and Bing Crosby. They used to make road movies.
Sure.
And Freddie and I wrote a sketch for my television show called Road to Puerto Rico. And we got a call from Bob Hope who said, I love that sketch. Let's do the movie. So we were actually ready to sign a picture deal with Bob and Bing producing the road movies for the comedian and singer to keep that alive.
Well, I'm sorry we never got to see that, but really, that day that we spoke about Freddie was one of the most special days I've ever had in radio, so thank you for that.
Oh, my pleasure. But anytime you want to talk about Freddie Prinze, always in a positive sense, is a joy.
That show was so funny, and he paved the way for so many other comics, to Paul Rodriguez, a lot of people that went on to follow in his footsteps.
George Lopez,
big time. Do you keep in touch with Freddie Prinze Jr. at all?
You know, I have not seen Freddie Prinze since he's a year old. He was in my arms and on his birthday, first year birthday, and the reason for that is his wife wisely moved, Freddie's wife, wisely, Freddie Sr.'s wife, wisely moved to Albuquerque and raised a normal child. So there was never really a growing up connection with me. And I always hesitated to bring up his father when I saw him. So I really wait for him to search out Uncle Tony.
Well, I hope that happens.
And if he ever needs me or wanted to talk to me, because his father, without a doubt, this son is a tribute to Freddie Sr.
Yeah.
His son is a great actor and a solid person. You don't see any bad stuff about him anywhere.
Yeah, you're right.
In any way, and it's nice to see a young performer like that carry himself that way, and that's all due to his mom.
Tony Orlando is on the line with us. He's going to be appearing at the Arcata Theater tomorrow night at 7:30 in St. Charles. I love the Arcata Theater. His Great American Christmas Show. Now, are we going to see any, obviously some singing and some Christmas carols, any variety show type thing like your variety show that you had prime time?
Well, this is a show I wrote 24 years ago. This is the longest running Christmas show other than, I think, Nutcracker, to be honest with you. I can't think of another show that's lasted 24 years. And we played 20 years of it as a play, as a straight up musical in Branson, because that was the way the theater was built, like a Broadway theater. It was sat 2,004 people, and I wrote it 24 years ago. Then I took it to New York, Las Vegas, still in Las Vegas. We do it at the South Point, and before that, the Orleans, as it's the only Christmas show in Las Vegas, because usually, you know, Vegas kind of closes down shows in the Christmas season.
Why? Because it's not particularly religious there?
I think they think of it that way, maybe. I don't know what their reason for it is. Maybe these people are taking vacations, I guess, I don't know, for the holiday. But they never really. And then finally, I decided to go in one day and ask Michael Gaughan, who owns the South Point. I said, you know, it's not no longer 200,000 people live in this town. It's 2 million. And they should have a place to go see a Christmas show, maybe bring their kids. And so Michael Gaughan, to his credit, because this show definitely talks about, not only do we have a Santa Claus in this show that's been with me for 24 years, an amazing actor, but he brings me the nativity that I don't have on my stage. And so he brings the true meaning of Christmas here. So that does have a religious aspect to it, without a doubt, because the truth is Christmas is a religious holiday.
It truly is. I bring up the variety show, of course, Tony Orlando and Dawn. We've talked about Freddie Prinze. Talk to us about Jackie Gleason. He was your first guest on that show?
He was. Before I do that, I just want to go back to your question about what's in the show compared to the people who are listening. We do all our hits in this show.
Oh, good.
Because after all, the hits that we have been given by the public put a lot of Christmas presents under my tree.
Absolutely.
And it's a very special way where we find Santa Claus in this thing. And we even have a little confrontation, actually, because I don't believe what he is who he is. And finally, he comes, and when I ask him, I said, why now? I mean, I've been doing this Christmas shows. I'm in the show business 56 years.
Wow.
I've been with you before. Why would you pick now? And he looked at me, and he says, well, I love the way you decorate the stage, but I don't see a nativity scene.
Mm-hmm.
And I say to him, I'm embarrassed, I'm ashamed. And finally I say, okay, I promise you, next year. He goes, no, this year. And he goes back to his bag of tricks, comes back and hands me a nativity and says, Merry Christmas, Tony. And the audience inevitably gives a big applause, and we're off and running for Christmas.
Beautiful.
That's awesome. I love Christmas. Doesn't it bring you back to your childhood, Christmas time, Tony?
Well, that's what it's about. It's about reducing us back to our childhood so that we can get rid of all the sophistication that we end up with as adults.
That's it.
It was so much easier being a kid.
Yep, yep. So that's
well,
it.
You can be a kid again, Wendy. You can be a kid again. Just be there. You know what? I tell the audience, I say, sing it. When you sing this song, sing it like you're 7. If you can't remember when you're 7, make believe you're Jerry Lewis, because he's always 7, and he's 90 now.
Well, you look fantastic. I swear, you say you've been in show business for 56 years. You don't even look 56 years old.
Boy, Bill, I gotta meet Wendy.
All right, we can set that up.
Tomorrow night at the Arcata.
Yep.
If you're coming tomorrow night, I'd love to meet you. Thank you for those kind words. But I'm 72.
You don't look anywhere near 72.
Sure don't.
Thank you. I started this business when I was 16 years old, and my first hit record was called Halfway to Paris. In fact, that record broke in Chicago at WLS.
Really?
First disc jockey, the first person to ever play that record, my first record, and by the way, it was Carole King's first hit, too, because she wrote it and arranged it. Was Dick Biondi.
Yeah, I knew. We just mouthed it.
Yeah, both of us knew it was going to be
Dick Biondi.
You know he's still working there, right, Tony?
I do, and occasionally I get, when he gets lost for an interview, he calls old Tony.
Oh, good. Good.
So we talk about pizza. We talk about pizza up to the studio. If anybody remembers the Dick Biondi show, it was a big deal. But Biondi, definitely, without him, there'd have been no me.
How about that?
And that's the truth.
Yeah.
Because WLS was the strongest radio station at its time. I know you were with GN, and we were talking about.
We both worked at WLS as well, so
we're talking about you know, Chicago history here. But the truth is, in those days, because it was a 50,000-watt station, if you got your record played on that station, you were reaching, for God's sake, Virginia or someplace.
Absolutely,
like that. I mean, nuts. Yeah, even Florida, they would tell me in those days, because you know it was that was how those signals reached. So Dick Biondi really and truly was responsible for the beginnings of my career, no doubt.
On top of spaghetti all covered with cheese, I lost my poor meatball when somebody sneezed. We have to take a quick break, Tony, but we will talk to Tony Orlando with No Dawn right now. He's going to be appearing at our Arcata Theater tomorrow night, 7:30, 105 East Main Street in St. Charles. You know where it is. You can go to arcatalive.com or go to Tony Orlando's website, tonyorlando.com. It's Bill and Wendy, 720 WGN.
When December rolls around and old man winter comes to town, from every port of call, it's the one that tops them all.
Bill, you're doing a little soft shoe right there.
I sure
there,
am.
And you're taking it away from Tony Orlando, who we are talking to right now. He's going to be at the Arcata Theater tomorrow night, 7:30. It's his Great American Christmas Show. We brought up Jackie Gleason before when you did your variety show on television. He was your first guest. Give us some Jackie Gleason stories.
Well, Jackie Gleason was bigger than life. And if anybody out there is too young to remember Jackie Gleason, he was even referred to as the great one. So you consider two young ladies from Detroit who have never even done a high school play, and a kid from New York City who didn't ever even do a high school play. And here we are in a sketch with Jackie Gleason and Nancy Walker, who at the time was a great sitcom actress.
Mm-hmm.
On television, and spent many years on Broadway. In fact, she was in a show with Jackie on Broadway, believe it or not, in 1949. But Jackie Gleason was difficult when I first did the show. It was intimidating. He was not very nice.
Hmm.
He was arrogant. He was everything I hoped he wouldn't be. And what he said that about the girls, well, I can't repeat on air, but it was like using the N-word in a way.
Oh, no.
Oh, man.
There's a good ending to this. Hang on, there's a good ending. So I would say to him, Mr. Gleason, I said, I think you owe the girls an apology. And he said, I'm out of here, pal. So I get the heads of the network coming down. What are you doing? Is Jackie Gleason? We're paying him a fortune of money. It's your first show. You crazy. Don't get in that. Don't even go there. I said, okay, that's fine. I said, but I'm not going to allow anybody to talk to Tom and Joyce that way or about them that way. So to make a long story short, we had a very difficult part of, during the show. There was a lot of confrontations backstage. And when it was all over and said, at the end of the show, I get a knock on my door, and his assistant comes to me and says, Mr. Gleason would like to see you. And I went, oh, boy.
Uh-huh.
So I go walking in, and I'll never forget, he was standing with his back to me. I can hear him stirring a drink in his dressing room.
With his pinky, probably.
No, not with his pinky. Oh. He had a stirring stick.
Okay.
Yeah, so he goes, hey, pal, is that the script on this desk, on that table there? Is that for me? It is, Mr. Gleason. He said, I want you to open it up to the first page and read it out loud to the kid. I open it up, and it says, Dear Tony, I truly apologize. I was a jerk.
Wow. How about that?
He said, I'm sorry. Please forgive me, Jackie. I looked at him as he turned around with the drink, and he went, cheers. And I went, thank you for this, Jackie, but would you mind saying it to the girls?
Yeah.
Please. He said, please, bring them in. But in they came. And he did the biggest, most passionate apology I've ever heard.
Oh, good. You were right, Tony. Nice ending. Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he would call me for 4 straight years.
Yeah.
Every single night of the record, of the day we would tape our show, which was on Fridays.
Yeah.
He would call me and he would say, all right, listen, I watched the show last week, and I don't know what you're thinking, but don't be wearing a black tuxedo with a silver zipper. And I went, what are you talking about? Because you know what a silver zipper looks like against a black tuxedo on television? It looks like your fly is open. For God's sake, get a black zipper. Grow up, will you? I'll speak to you next week. Hang it up.
And away we go.
And that's like what Donald Trump now it does after he watches Saturday Night Live every weekend.
Yeah. Wow, Tony.
There you go.
That's amazing. That's amazing. We're so happy to talk to you, and we're so happy that you're working, especially locally. It's Tony Orlando's Great American Christmas Show at the Arcata Theater tomorrow night. That's a 7:30 start. It's on Main Street in St. Charles. You want to go to arcatalive.com. Your information's there. And then, Tony, you have your own website, tonyorlando.com.
And I'll tell you one thing. That St. Charles area is beautiful, and that theater is beautiful. I'm privileged and honored to work it.
I saw your video. A little congratulations to Ron Onesti, a friend of ours as well, because he, Italian American Association, named him as, I don't even know the title he got, but it was a wonderful video, you congratulating him. Ron does a great job putting shows out at the Arcata in St. Charles.
He is a special guy.
He really is.
His family in this area, I know, honored him, and rightly so. He deserved all that.
Absolutely. Go see Tony Orlando, please. He looks great. He sings great. And so nice to talk to you, sir.
Thank you, Wendy.
Thank you, Tony.
Good to talk to you again.
Absolutely.
God bless you guys. And Merry Christmas, by the way.
Merry Christmas to you.
Listening to you. And have a blessed Happy New Year.
Thank you so much.
You got
too.
Tony Orlando, ladies and gentlemen. A quick break, and then we'll find out what Roe and Ann have next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.